The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack! Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. You understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday, our last show of the week. Always an exciting show because, you know, we can't contain our enthusiasm, our excitement going forward. This game against the Jets, it's been Jets week all week. Rex Ryan with his big conference call yesterday with the local media getting hazed by Eric Scalavino. If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, read the transcript or you can listen to it on Patriots.com. Good stuff. But it's going to be a tough game with all the injuries that the Patriots have. We got the first practice report this morning. Well, not the first, but we got the Thursday morning practice report this morning. And once again, no Tlaib, no Leon Washington.
No Kelly.
No Kelly, Tommy Kelly. And there was one other person out. Amendola. So, you know, those are all, except for Washington, who they've been without, those are all big names. You know, these aren't guys, you know, 45 to 53 on the roster. These are starters that we're talking about. And, of course, Gerard Mayo earlier. So it will be a tough test going into the Meadowlands.
Wow. It's not what he said yesterday.
All these games are tough tests. I'm just glad this test is the Jets. And
Dan Connolly back.
Dan Connolly's back from a head injury, so that's good news for him.
And the Patriots.
Yeah.
Because Marcus Cannon doesn't look very good out there.
Yeah. I
you know those people that wanted to put Cannon in and move Connolly over to center, and Cannon looked.
No, I want to put Zvitek in.
Zvitek.
You know? So what else have we got on the table before we get into calls and emails?
Rob Gronkowski's agent.
Yeah,
Drew Rosenhaus had some comments on a Miami radio station. Didn't really say anything. He hasn't been cleared by Dr. Andrews. And when he is, he'll play.
Ben Vallin had a tweet earlier that the doctor said that, and I don't know what doctor he's talking about, and there was no link. It just said, doctor says, maybe this weekend.
Drew Rosenhaus, no. DR,
oh, he DR.
Said when he's cleared, he'll play maybe as soon as this weekend.
Okay.
DR, he meant Drew Rosenhaus.
Drew Rosenhaus, okay. Sorry
and,
about that.
The interesting thing that I thought, now you can choose to believe or not, said that Drew Rosenhaus, DR, has had some good dialogues with Coach Belichick and the medical staff, and everybody's on the same page. Can you see that conversation? Like Drew Rosenhaus calling Belichick?
Actually, I heard Rosenhaus is kind of he's one of those guys that has a reputation of being sort of anti-team, you know. But I heard that he has a pretty good relationship with Belichick over the years.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't either.
That's what I've
heard. I know we've had a fair amount of Rosenhaus clients. So
yeah.
It hasn't, you know, Tom Condon, for example, it seemed like we had that whole blowout with Benjamin Watson, and that was it for Condon clients, you know.
And most of Rosenhaus's clients have taken it on the chin.
Yeah.
Gus Scott didn't get anything. Rob Gronkowski, if his career is fizzling out, that contract's going to look horrible that he signed because he didn't get the big payday that, you know, even Hernandez got. So yeah, maybe that's why the Patriots are so close with
Rosenhaus.
He's
still a year or two. Is it
15?
2015 is when he gets $10 million.
$10 million like
pickup bonus. It's a ways away from the big money.
Maybe that's why Bill likes Rosenhaus.
Do you think he's going to play this week?
I have no idea. I mean,
see, finally, I got you. I got you.
I mean, until
I don't
Andrews clears him, it's not even really a topic, a decision.
Did Rosenhaus talk about what they were waiting to clear him for? Was it
the game? One of his quotes was, "There's a big difference between being cleared to practice and cleared to play."
But they didn't mention like it's a bone thing.
He didn't get into any medical.
He didn't get into any
kind
of that
stuff. No, it was just he hasn't been cleared.
So what exactly did Rosenhaus say that he is being evaluated? Could be cleared.
He said when he's cleared, he'll play. That could be as soon as this weekend.
When he's cleared, he'll play, which could be as soon as this
now.
Weekend.
I'm paraphrasing, but that was the basic gist.
No, it was something like that.
And that wasn't a doctor. That was DR.
DR.
But like. It just seems so weird that if it is a bone thing, all of a sudden, like, you know, in the span of a week, it got better.
Right.
You know, I just.
Well, that's what really worried me last week.
Yeah, there's something fishy here.
That's what really worried me
you
last
think?
Week is that there's something wrong with the bone, the integrity of the bone. I don't see how that gets better in a week, 2 weeks, three
right.
weeks. I mean,
right.
something's wrong.
But we're all assuming. We know nothing.
That's why I said
for all we know, it's the back. It's not the forearm, right? I mean, do we know definitively it's the forearm? There have been reports.
Right.
But there's been a lot of reports about a lot of stuff, and Rosenhaus took some shots at reports and sources and the circus and all that. But for all we know, it's the back, and there was a certain timetable or a certain limitation with the back, right?
Right.
I mean, we don't know. The only things we know factually are very limited. He didn't go on PUP. He's been practicing for 6 weeks. He hasn't played yet. I mean, those are some of the facts that we know.
Right.
All the other stuff is 8 million sources, and who knows, you believe half of them are false.
I've been told that. So, all right, webradio at patriots.com.
They could use him, by the way.
What's that?
They could use him. If Amendola, you know, it's a passing league, and we're going to be without our top corner and our top pass receiver, that's not good.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Red Sox going down in defeat yesterday, 2-2 now is the series. So it's now a three-game series, and we get back to the starting rotation of each team.
And the Red Sox get back to striking out 15 times and being no-hit for five innings.
We talked a little bit about when Andy left yesterday about the Irsay Manning thing. Did you happen to see Polian's response today, which was kind of – I know you hate Polian.
Yeah.
And I do too, truth be told. But he said, defending the 14-year tenure of Peyton Manning, we never lost to Baltimore in the playoffs. They lost to Baltimore last year. I like that. I mean, you knew Manning was going to go the high road,
right.
And you knew Polian wouldn't.
Right.
So I kind of like that. Let them go at it now. Evidently, Jim Irsay was tweeting at like 2 in the morning about this. Like he was going to be quiet about it, but he couldn't help himself.
It's unbelievable. It's going to be really awkward.
Yeah, I mean, I think they ruined kind of a neat thing.
And I guess Peyton Manning was asked about it. He refused to say anything, but he also refused to say yes or no if there's any ill feelings.
No, well, if you're not going to comment on it, you can't comment on the thing that you don't have a problem commenting on and then not comment on the other stuff.
Well, he could have said, I don't have any ill feelings, but I'm not going to get into this.
No, you do what Belichick does, and you don't comment on it.
I agree. I agree. You do what Belichick does.
You can't
does.
Pick and choose.
I'm glad you're seeing the light, Paul.
No, I'm saying if you're going to go that route, you can't go halfway.
That's right.
You have to go all the way, but you got to go all Belichick.
You got to be consistent,
right?
Right?
You can't say, "Oh no, I think Tony Dungy does a great job," and then say, "No comment" when you ask me about Rex Ryan.
Right.
That doesn't work that way.
That's right.
You can't do that.
That's right. All right. What else? You guys seem to be out of it a little bit, a little distracted. What's going on?
No.
No.
Nah, I don't know. Not distracted.
No. Okay.
I'm always sad on Thursdays, Fred.
Has your feeling toward this game changed from Monday and the elation after the game to today?
I feel worse because now I know that Tlaib and Amendola haven't been practicing. You know, there was a chance that Tlaib was back out there. I feel worse about the game because I think that's huge.
Do you feel that the Jets offense can really take advantage of that?
I think any NFL offense playing a defense that is without its three best players and one best player at each level of the defense, that's a concern. And my other concern is we've nipped the old 20-plus yard plays in the bud this season. Is that because Aqib Talib has played all year? And did it get better last year because he started playing? And are we going to go back to, and Stephen Hill can get behind you. He's not the most polished receiver. He's not the most consistent, nor is the quarterback.
Right.
But if you give them two long plays with an offense that's having trouble scoring, that could be the difference in a game. So
it could
I have my concerns there.
You do.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel worse about winning or losing, but everything Andy said is right. I mean, you didn't know Talib wasn't going to practice. You kind of expected him not to, based on the history last year. That worried me. But, you know, now he hasn't practiced for 2 days. I would say that his status is probably not looking good for Sunday.
Quote.
You know, we should probably put out there that there have been Steve Burton here, host of Patriots All Access, tweeted out last night that he has sources, maybe they're Fred made up sources, that say that he won't play. Said flat out that he will not play this week. So we'll see.
Did not know that.
We'll see how that comes out. So I agree with Andy that you don't feel as good about it. I still feel pretty good about winning the game because I will say this. My one fear would be if somehow the Jets don't turn the ball over. And then I think you're in a rock fight. Then I think it'll be a very close game. They've had a lot of these. I've been using that term a lot this year because they've played a lot of sort of field position, slugfest, grind it out kind of games.
Yeah. It gets harder to grind it out the less you have people.
Yeah, the less you have to work with in order to grind it out, the harder it is. So if it's a close game like that, like the first time, then you can lose it. So I feel a little bit worse about that. Whereas watching the Jets, and I've seen a fair amount of the Jets this year, even when they're playing well, they don't look overly impressive to me. And I think they're playing hard. I think the defense is pretty good.
Well, they don't have much talent.
They just don't have a lot of weapons on offense.
Right.
And that's
I mean, they got Cumberland, but beyond that.
You know, I just don't see them having enough.
That's why I'm happy we're playing them this week.
To put the points on the board that it'll take.
What's it going to take?
20. It's going to take at least 20. You can't expect to win games when you're not hitting 20.
Now, I know that's why I think they might have a chance to lose. I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage and run the ball. I think the one thing we know for sure is the Jets' front is pretty good with Sheldon, Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson. They're not just going to let you pound it down their throat. So even though Ridley's back and had his best game, I'm not sure that's the way to do it. And everything else to me is a crapshoot. If Amendola doesn't play, we see that Edelman is banged up. He may not be out there all the time. He limped off a couple times the other day. Now all of a sudden it's Kenbrell Tompkins, and Michael Manawanui trying to beat the Jets. Well,
what about Austin Collie?
Okay, Austin Collie. Throw him in there for all you care.
Well, I think Gronk obviously makes
for
a
all
pick.
Because I don't. Because I think he's irrelevant. And my point is, Paul says, you can't lose. Well, they might not score 20.
I didn't say they can't lose.
No, you said you can't expect to win a lot of games if you don't score 20. Well, but they might not score 20.
I expect them to score 20.
Yeah. So does Tom Brady. Which is why he'll be bitching and moaning when they don't score 20.
Listen, you can't argue with them. They have the potential to be missing a lot of those guys.
Rex, I have respect for Rex as a defensive coach, so I'm down some weapons. I'm going against, these games in the division, even though lately it's been tight first one, blowout second one, it could be another bogged down tight affair where Bill goes, it's what you expect in the AFC East, Jets, it's always a hard. Well, if you're in that, you could lose that.
Will the first quarter make all the difference?
No.
No?
I don't believe so. I do not believe this game
will
be over.
No, it jumped out to a 10-0 lead in the first quarter of the last game. That didn't really. I mean, you could say that it made the difference in the Patriots winning the game, but not in a. I think you're insinuating that if the Patriots do that, they're going to blow them out.
No.
Because the
not
Jets
blow
crowd
out.
Will turn on them and all that.
I don't think either way. If the Jets go up 10-0, I don't think the Jets.
That won't mean anything.
I don't think the Patriots have the capability to blow them out. I really don't.
Nor the Jets likely to blow anybody
not
out.
Not without help from the Jets offense.
Right.
And I do think that there's a chance that they get some help from the Jets offense because I think it's turned the ball over at an alarming rate. I think that's a big key in this game. I know, Andy, you used that as one of your points for the TV show tonight on PFW. They turn the ball over a lot. Geno Smith has turned it over a lot.
Almost equally remarkably, by the way, is they don't force turnovers.
Yeah.
They only have 3 forced turnovers on the year.
And you don't... Only you don't necessarily have to make great defensive plays when you have a team that turns the ball over a lot. It's not like you have to force every one of those turnovers. Sometimes you just throw it to you. And sometimes they just drop it and it goes up in the air and you pick it off. You didn't really do anything. That's what a couple of those fourth quarter picks the last time were. He just threw a terrible ball to Santonio Holmes that was way back shoulder and Kyle Arrington got a hand on it and Aqib Talib picked it off. That's the kind of turnovers you make when you turn the ball over a lot. It's not always a great defensive play.
Beyond the just being on the field, are you concerned about the loss of Jerod Mayo in terms of the mental aspect and the getting, you know, especially now that you have Jones and Villano up front who might need a quick slap in the ass to adjust over?
Yes.
Your cornerbacks,
no, the answer
you're
is
down
yes.
the ladder,
yeah.
So you don't have faith in Hightower? Is he ready for that?
See, that
no, it's a serious
I
question.
I have concern.
I mean, are you ready for Dante Hightower to be the head of the defense?
Brain. Yeah, Dante Hightower says he's ready. He did it in, you know, he said he did it in Alabama.
Yep.
You know, I don't think they'd ask him to do it if they didn't think he could. They'd
well,
ask
somebody has
else.
To do it.
Yeah, they'd ask somebody else.
But somebody has to.
Right.
So you take the guy you feel best about.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean you feel 1,000% right. confident that it's
you
not going to miss a beat.
You know, I am concerned. It's definitely concerned. It's a change. It's a different voice that the players are going to hear. Everybody's got their own style out there, and it's an adjustment, you know, and we'll see.
To just say they wouldn't ask him to do it if they didn't think he could do it, I mean, you know, they're not infallible. I mean, they make mistakes, too.
No, but if I mean, there's more than Dante Hightower in the team, and if they didn't think he was the best guy for the job, he wouldn't be doing
it. I know that.
But you're assuming they're right.
But the best guy for the job could be a B effort instead of an A
that's
effort.
That's what I'm saying.
And a couple little – I'm not saying he's going to poop his pants
call
right when he should call left and just absolutely crap himself. But little mistakes, when the margin of error is small, when you're in a rock fight, as Paul puts it, little mistakes could matter. A
little
first down here,
too.
A first down there, where somebody was a step out of position, whatever. I mean,
That last thing that Andy just said, little subtleties that I'm sure Mayo recognized that maybe Hightower will, but maybe he won't. You know, that might help. Little thing like the Chandler Jones comment about Ninkovich, telling him, you know, stay home
right.
on the naked boot. You know, hopefully Hightower has enough of that instinct. I think he died. I don't expect it to be a disaster. I think he is a pretty heady player. I haven't seen him make the amount of plays that I would wanted to see him make in year two.
Well, that concerns me, too, is if he has this added responsibility, does that now even lessen the amount of chances he's going to have to make a play?
Zero minus zero is zero.
Oh, come on.
He hasn't made many plays.
I'm not worried about the playmaking because he hasn't made a lot of plays. I'm worried, is he ready to be the head of the defense? And I think you need that. Wilfork's not there. Kelly's not there. I mean, we're a play away in any snap from Beckett or somebody having to play. I mean, the depth that we said was non-existent is being challenged relatively early in the season.
And I'm a little surprised, and I made this comment yesterday, in a game like this against the Jets, where I expect them to try to run the ball probably anywhere between 55 and 65% of the time, as long as the game is within a score, why it wouldn't be Spikes? It just would seem to make more sense to me this week. Now, they might just want to have a guy that they can rely on. Like, it's going to be Hightower the rest of the year, most often. So we're just going to have it be Hightower. Maybe that they don't want to change it.
But I also think Spikes, I mean, Hightower's going to be on the field all the time.
I know he's always going to be on the field. I think in this game, Spikes is always going to be on the field.
Well, probably.
But they might not want to change that next week if Spikes is not a big part of the game.
But I think Spikes could come off on 3rd and 16.
Oh, yeah.
So Hightower, to me, Hightower's not going to leave the field. Unless he's hurt, I think Dante Hightower is going to be a 77 out of 77 snaps.
I agree with you on
Whereas
that.
I think, do I have bugs on me? I have this weird feeling like
really
fruit flies or something.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
No, I get what your point
could
is.
Be the heroin withdrawal.
He's probably going to take over the Mayo role, not necessarily moving his job or, you know, physically,
no.
but being out there every
Correct.
Single play.
Which is weird because he's coming off the game, which
he
may have
least.
Been the least of his entire career here in New England. And now he's going to slide into that every down role that I think we assumed he should be in anyway.
What do we got tonight on Thursday Night Football?
Oh, I don't know.
Arizona.
Yes, Carson somebody? Palmer versus Seattle,
oh,
I think.
That's right. Yeah.
Seattle.
And
Palmer
Arizona.
And
okay.
Pete.
All right.
USC boys.
When's that Colts game?
Sunday.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. Picks are at the last second.
Yeah, right now, sure. Screw the Red Sox, screw Thursday Night Football. Let's talk Patriots.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. Let's get into the emails. Jason from
Are you
Chiba.
Worried about the other injuries before I step all over Jason and Chiba? Like Devin You're McCourty popping up with a shoulder after having offseason shoulder surgery?
Well, it was
kind
of weird because remember during the game I said, oh, there's Daron Harmon, you know, and I guess they were trying to spell McCourty.
So it's another guy who The question actually was, could he see some more time at corner? Is Harmon going to play some safety if Talib is out? And now is this a concern? Not only because he's hurt, but because it's a shoulder injury and he had shoulder surgery. Could this be a Talib recurring issue? I'm starting to get a little, Ninkovich is on there. I mean, he's been there the last 2 weeks, I think, but there's a lot of guys.
Everybody's hurt. Everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
Which is why Paul says you're not going to get healthier.
But look at everybody around the Houston, Danielle Manning, starting safety.
Yeah, but some people are going to get healthier. Like Von Miller's coming back.
Yeah, someone will come back, but
Shane Vereen will be coming back.
Someone else will get hurt. Yeah.
He's this close to being between injuries, Shane Vereen.
Well, that's the way I look at those. When guys are coming back from injuries, I think people just automatically, it's like getting a guy at full strength. Well, no, he's probably coming back from an injury and going to be banged up when he comes back. That's what happens around the league. Von Miller is an example of a guy. Okay, he was suspended. Right. So theoretically, he's physically 100% ready to go. But who knows? Maybe he gets popped again. Doesn't seem like he's – I'm serious. Doesn't seem like he's a guy who's very remorseful.
No.
Do you? Do
no.
you think? I mean
– No.
He's another cheater. I mean, call him what he is.
Yeah, but
not going to be a fraud.
My guess is he's not remorseful because he knows everybody else is doing it. He's mad he got caught. I think they're all more mad they get caught than they did it.
Oh,
that's
sure.
The issue. You're worried. You're pissed off you got caught, and no one else is getting caught.
Jason Nchiba, who's also is really in Keene, New Hampshire right now.
So how are we ever going to get a call from Japan if Jason Nchiba is in New Hampshire?
Here's an image for you cork soakers. Hot dog sausages, where's the pork? Just as nonsensical and just as entertaining, if you ask me. It's referring to Zolak's call.
It was definitely nonsensical. I don't know that it was... I still don't get people that say it was great. It was emotional. It's...
Where's the beef?
Like, to me, it's stupidness that he chose to say.
Like, I don't have any... There's some guys that are, really clowns.
Nuts
like the guy,
and bolts, we got screwed.
The guy in Arizona.
At least that makes sense.
The guy in Arizona there that has the really gravelly voice, and he's a clown. But, we won. I have no problem with that. If Zoe just said, unbelievable, he just starts screaming or whatever because he's excited. But unicorn show ponies and where's the beef? What does that mean?
That's my, and I don't even bother. I don't agree with the, this is your quarterback, where's he gone, whatever. At least that has some sort of meaning to him. He feels like Brady was questioned. He just showed that he's still the man. That all has meaning. The other stuff is just nonsensical inside jokes even.
Some people have been emailing in and they've been critical of us because we've been critical of it. And they keep saying, I don't know why this offends you. It didn't offend me at all. I just thought it was stupid.
And
I have no problem with the emotion of it, Andy said.
In the preseason, people were all over Rochi because Ben Vereen. That's a mistake. That is not idiocy, to steal a word from John.
Where's the beef?
This is idiocy.
Any update on Tommy? That's not my quarterback, Kelly. I was sold this dude as a 16-game player, the optimist known as Andy Hart.
He was till he got here.
Where is he now? Check. P.S. Andy, sorry, bro. My wife and I live in Keene, New Hampshire now. Maybe someday we'll go back, but until then, I'll be Jason and Chiba in Keene, New Hampshire.
I think we could probably get rid of the Japan line. Probably Ixnay on the 00531161396 line, Fred.
Cole from Waterloo says, I love that you led off Tuesday's show with Zoe's call of the final play. Hilarious. Nice work, Kevin. I think it's even more funny if you think that Zoe would be swearing up a storm if he was off air, and unicorns and show ponies are just on-air appropriate substitutions for various expletives. From now on, just substitute your own choice words and let the hilarity ensue. Let's hear some more unicorns and show ponies this week when we demoralize the Jets. I'm thinking a touchdown piece from Dobson and a touchdown apiece from Dobson and Tompkins. Do you guys agree?
No.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. I find it hard to believe they're both going to catch the ball in the end zone.
And Ross in Canada has the final notes on the Saints game.
Jets, by the way, secondary is pretty banged up.
Yes.
So you could maybe see some plays from those rookies.
I didn't say they wouldn't get open and be open in the end zone.
I said you could maybe see some plays from them.
Catching the ball in the end zone.
Watch replay of the Saints on NFL Network last night. Great to get on field sound bites and not have to hear much Aikman. Aikman check.
People were all over him like he mailed it in because he didn't have Buck with him.
I don't think Aikman's very good.
No, he's not. I don't hear him as much as the other guys, though. The Saints prematurely celebrating like they won after the interception. A classless and foolish move, in my opinion. Something I missed watching the broadcast was how the Saints began hoisting the game ball on the sideline. Greer saw a camera on the sidelines and went over and called out to put the ball up, smiling right at the camera all the while. Lo and behold, who was on KT?
Greer was covering Tompkins.
Who mistimed his jump and couldn't knock the ball away.
Not really that hard to figure out. He's dead on with his email here.
And the defense thought the game was over. We got the ball back to Drew Brees. The game's over.
And if I'm the defense, I'm looking at Drew Brees right now and saying, how many times are we going to stop him for you?
We're going to find a way to overcome injuries versus the Jets and move to 6-1. Keep up the great work and thanks for the time.
You're welcome.
He's dead on with that. I don't know why you found it so hard to read it. That's exactly what the defense did. They were celebrating with the ball.
I think he's retarded or something.
Alex and Philly, what's worse for us for the game, the Patriots players being hurt or the Jets players being horny? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. Evidently, well, Sheldon Richardson didn't understand.
This is the opening for if people hadn't heard, you explain it to them.
Rex Ryan told the Jets that they needed to be at their full strength and have all their energy this week to take on the Patriots. And that means when you go home, don't do anything for your wife.
Right.
Don't take out the garbage. Don't do anything for your wife. Tell her next week. And some people took that to mean don't have sex with your wife. Don't have any bedroom activity with your wife. I don't believe he meant that. He literally said, like, take out the garbage. He's telling people don't be doing household chores this week.
Right.
No cleaning the gutters on Thursday night. And it was taken out of sort of context, but that would have been, put a new spin on the butt fumble when Sanchez ran into his guard's butt if he was horny.
Alex also says, can you believe Rex told his players not to do any household activities this week? Seriously, that guy never ceases to entertain me. Any news in Tlaib, out of all the injuries, he is the one that we can't survive, not with the way he was playing. I think we can get by with Wolfork and Mayo being gone, but if Tlaib is fine, I think the D will be fine. How serious is Tommy Kelly's injury? Are you guys concerned as I am about this O-line against the Jets front? They have been awful.
Kelly will be all right. That's what he said.
Haven't seen him since, but
he also said he'd talk the next day. And to be fair, I'm sure he was talking to someone the next
day. Your
boy
Brandon Whedon turned 30 yesterday, huh? It's just so funny to me. Second-year quarterback turned 30.
Louis in Chicago, first off, great couple of wins these past few weeks. The injuries are piling up, but I'm confident Dante will step up, and the attitude set by Tlaib will continue to fuel this defense. Some criticism. Could someone tell Paul to stop mentioning Super Bowl 42 every week that he's on with Felger? It's been, I believe, 4 weeks straight. Stop pouring salt on that wound.
Secondly, we talked about it yesterday. I don't remember talking about the Super Bowl yesterday.
Well, you say it so often you don't even notice it.
Okay, and that's about it here.
Wait, what's the rest?
Well, he's talking about that.
In general, when I do talk about that Super Bowl, I chastise the fans that, you know, claim we didn't win anything in 2007. Where did that get you? That's usually the context we talk about. I hate that. I hate that argument that team somehow was poorly constructed, and that's why they didn't win a Super Bowl.
That's what Jim Irsay believes.
30 seconds away from being 19-0, and somehow, like, it was a flaw in the scheme, in the team building process that Bill Belichick did. It's one of the dumbest arguments I've ever heard. That's usually when I bring that up. That's the context that I do it in.
They still didn't finish. I was a minute away from finishing a marathon, and yet I have never finished a marathon.
They lost. I can't deny your, you know, you and the simplistic Felger scoreboard analysis.
Don't ever compare me to Felger.
But to me, it wasn't about a soul issue. They lost their soul because they scored points.
I think they lost their heads, personally.
I think the whole...
Picked a bad time to play a bad game.
I think by the time they got to the Super Bowl, they were exhausted.
Well, that may be part of it. I think they took it too businesslike. I've said that a million times. And then at the end, I think they lost their heads, kind of like they did the other day. Why are we throwing balls up for grabs deep down the field? What happened to the days when we just drove down the field calm, cool, and collectively with, what's his, Joe Cool quarterback and made plays? Oh, we got to go deep.
Jeez. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398.
Somebody in Japan?
Let's go to Brian in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
No.
Hey, how you guys?
You still there, Brian?
Doing all right.
What happened? What happened to Brian?
He's gone.
I didn't hear that.
Put him back on hold.
What?
You put him on hold. Unhold him.
Now he's on. Now I put him back on the air.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, sorry I'm not from Japan. I thought you guys hung up on me for it.
Fred actually put you on hold.
I didn't do anything.
He's a bit of a monkey.
I did not do that.
Blame it on the monkey, Fred. Blame it on the monkey.
I am.
Fred is the monkey.
So I have a question for you guys about the Arrington pick during the Saints game. And I'm curious. It was a pick, so it should automatically be a replay, right? Up in the booth.
Turnover.
Yep. As a turnover, right? So on two levels, I thought it might have been called back, that either it was a delay of game or the Breeze attempted calling a timeout. Is that possible for them to reverse the pick, or am I wrong?
No, they couldn't reverse that pick. If they didn't grant him a timeout.
Yeah, that's an on-field.
That's an on-field call. That's like if they were holding, it's a penalty.
But what about the delay of game?
You can't.
If it was a delay of game.
They didn't call it. They didn't call delay of game. You can't go back on replay and call a penalty. The only one you can do that for, I believe, is if you're questioning 12 men,
right,
of whether or not the guy is out of bounds. But if the play did not get blown dead for delay of game, you can't then go to replay and say, the play clock was at zero, you should have called delay of game. It's the same as like holding. Well, it was a holding on that play. That's the way I understand it anyway. Am I wrong on that?
No, that's my belief.
Everybody's just dropped off the phone line. And I didn't do a thing.
But everybody,
still green.
There's been a
lot
of comments about that. That play that Breeze was trying to call timeout, and then the ball got snapped, and it either should have been delay of game or a timeout because he was clearly trying to call timeout, and they didn't
either. Called timeout. He was just not granted timeout.
And then they ended up throwing a terrible pass that was like 3 feet over Jimmy Graham's head.
Yeah, because then technically you could challenge that if it was a reviewable play and say, no, we had delay of game. I didn't want that pick.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I don't think they can overturn that.
Okay.
And they had a couple different problems because they had the one where they gave it to Breeze and then said, no, the Patriots actually called timeout. They were having their issues with their timeouts.
Yeah, they did.
Phones are ringing again. Anthony's in Virginia. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys for a few years, and I really enjoy the radio show, and I never thought I'd call in until I heard Eric's mouth yesterday. So I'm actually going to go on a little bit of a rant, if you don't
mind. I love it. Let's go.
Unfortunately, Eric's not here to hear you bash him.
I'm pretty sure he'll complain about me later, which is fine. So I listen to you guys because you guys are passionate about the team. You do this because you love football, but you love the Patriots, and you talk about it with a kind of a one-sided look at it with more of a Patriots aspect of things. And that's why I listen to you guys, and I love it. And when yesterday Eric goes and says he's neutral about things, he's really not a fan of teams and everything, it drove me nuts. And then I started to think back a little bit about Eric, and I thought to myself, this guy is the biggest head case I know. How many people do you know have a radio show where they have a word of the day? It has nothing to do with football. Here, Eric, I got a word for you. It's called retire. And for you, if you don't understand the word, I'll put it in a sentence. Eric, you suck at your job. Retire.
I hope we are rolling on this. We need to re-rack this.
There you go.
Asshat Scalavino going to be there?
Yeah. I apologize to rant, but I never thought I'd call in. But it irritated me because the guy's got a dream job. You are working for the New England Patriots.
Not in his view. No, he's stuck here in his view.
Not in yours either.
It drives me nuts. If I wanted a one-sided look of things, I'd listen to ESPN. But I listen to you guys, and it drives me bad. I grind my teeth listening to him talk. I don't get it. I mean, he brings no insight to the show. I mean, he comes in, the last 5 minutes of the show and talks about, in the locker room, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Everyone else has been talking about this for the last 20 minutes. Why are you even talking? Just retire. I'm done with this guy. Love you guys. Love the show. Patriots are going to win 27-14.
I like it.
I had 26-13. I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
No problem. Bye-bye.
That was a very good rant.
That was a good rant. But you know what the part of that yesterday that sort of bothered
me? We like caller on us crime, too.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a journalist.
You know what? Forget the journalist part because, that's just Eric being Eric. He's, as someone wrote
I'm
in immediately after it, does his arrogance know no bounds immediately after that?
It does not.
How can you be a sports fan? And I'm not suggesting that you wouldn't enjoy watching a game as a neutral fan. But how, as a sports fan, is that more enjoyable to you than having an emotional interest? He said yesterday that he likes it better when he does not have a rooting interest.
Right.
Just, I'm a casual, impartial observer.
Yeah, it's like he's at a museum.
How can that be more enjoyable to anybody than having an emotional investment?
He's like a tourist at a museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
No,
he really does.
That, to me, is someone who doesn't like sports.
He doesn't.
And I think that's him.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
You know, Andy's passionate about breasts. I'm passionate about sports.
Right.
I think he would just be never happy. I don't know what that's called, if there's like a term for that. I just don't think he'd ever be happy. I think
Eeyore.
He sees the negative in things or gets beat down. Like, if he became a famous artist, I think he'd bitch about something in that realm. I think he's never happy.
Dave is in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good show as usual.
Thanks,
you,
Dave.
I just want to back what the last caller just said about Eric. You know, you guys just said it. I mean, you guys are, you know, you have the passion. You're sports reporters. Okay, so, I mean, obviously you love sports. You know, you work for the Patriots. You know, I just saw in the Help Wanted ads, if Eric's looking for a new job, the Weekly Word News is looking for reporters.
You
know,
there you go.
On aliens or something.
Sure.
Let's move him on. I'm all for it.
But here's a question for you guys. I could be wrong. Now, I don't know if it was one of the Jets running backs, whether it was Ivory or Powell. Didn't they put one of them on IR?
No, Goodson.
Thought it was Goodson.
Goodson is on IR.
Who didn't play in the first game either.
Yeah. You know, I think this game is definitely a winnable game for us, okay? And, you know,
of course
it's
a winnable
record,
game.
But I think that, you know, both guys said it. You know, they're definitely going to run the ball. I mean, obviously. You know, I mean, Mayo's not there, and, you know, hopefully Collins slash whoever else they put in there can, you know, do the job. But one of the best ways to, you know, help our defense is offense. I mean, you know, we need to control the ball.
No, this game is our offense versus their defense. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think if we have a balanced attack, you know, I think Ridley had a good game last week, you know, and I think he needs to build on it. You know, and it will be okay. And I think I'm looking at a 23-10 score for the Patriots.
I like it. Okay. Sounds
Thanks,
good.
Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks,
Dave. For the call.
Everybody's
for
got the
nice
Patriots in the 20s.
Yeah. But those are the kinds of scores, I think. I think we've seen 27-14, 23-10. I was kind of throwing 26-13. That's the kind of game
I think
I'm
if the Patriots
at.
Get in the mid-20s, they win. You know, my only question is, do they get in the mid-20s? I'm also, you know what? And this is my, we'll get back to yesterday's show where I'm a cynic and see the negative and everything. The one thing we haven't seen, we had questions about the receivers and the offense. The one thing we really haven't seen is like the tip ball interceptions, the real killers that I thought there'd be more of at this point in the year with Brady
because
and
of the young
these
receivers.
Guys being
Give the
sort
receivers
of,
credit when they're dropping them, they're making sure they
right
get to the
ground. And I just still feel like sooner or later, we're going to have a couple of those where it's going to be like, oh crap.
Yeah, we almost had one of those. On the first of the three, you know, game-winning drives last week, second down to Bolden, the little dump off where it hit him in the hands and popped straight up in the air, but he was so wide open that there was no one there to catch the deflection. But that was one of those that Andy's talking about.
Noel is in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Great show today. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hey, I got a couple of things living here in Denver. Of course, the Broncos were supposed to take Manning out at the half because it'd be so far ahead. So no game's a lock for certain. I got a couple of questions for you guys. Just as Brady got the ball back and threw that interception, I told my wife, I said, hey, I hope we don't get it all in one shot. And sure enough, he threw the pick. Well, you know, the other thing is that the other call, the running play where he changed the play, I don't want to know if that was on Josh. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys, but you know, I'd like to get your opinion on Weiss, O'Brien, and Josh, and tell me who you feel is the better of the three offensive coordinators.
That's a good question. Thanks for the call, Noel. First, his thing, do you think that change was Brady or McDaniels?
It was Brady.
I think it was Brady, too.
Playing by the rules, setting forth by Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels.
I agree.
But then back to his other question, of the three coordinators, O'Brien, Weiss, or McDaniels, who do you think is the best? Who do you think was the best of the three? It's hard to say. It really is. I think purely, God.
I think I'd go Weiss.
I think so, too. I think
like
so,
the
too.
More I just think back on it.
I think he set the path that they're on now.
He did it a couple different ways. He had some different skill levels. He had different, you know, running back, no running back. He ran more trick plays than I think the other two really have. I think he was really good at play call. I thought he was a good offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
he has fallen on his face, obviously, since. But
I agree with that, Charlie, and a couple of other reasons. Brady wasn't Brady when he got him. You know, he was a young guy. He had not established himself. He was figuring out what things that he was really good at, what other, you know, how to utilize the strengths that Tom had, which obviously is his mind and his ability to read the, you know, plays pre-snap, whatever. And you brought up the trick plays. I thought he was extremely imaginative.
I thought
in
so
getting
too.
Guys. Yeah. Now listen, there were plenty of times
sometimes
that I hated
too,
it.
Right.
The tight end around that, you know, right. happened once a year that drove me insane. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I agreed with every call he made, but I think that he found ways with, in my opinion, nowhere near the amount of weaponry that they later had with O'Brien and McDaniels. He found ways to make that a very, very productive offense. Not 580 points worth of offense, but how many times did we used to say, you know, geez, we're up 24-16 here. This game is over.
Right. Right. Not.
Because the way they played offense, the other team wasn't getting the ball back because they just found a way to grind out wins.
And before he was offensive coordinator and he was with Parcells, he was Curtis Martin's. He was the running backs coach when Curtis Martin made the Pro Bowl. He was tight ends coach, and Ben Coates made the Pro Bowl. And he was wide receivers coach, and Terry Glenn.
He read his bio.
So,
well, he wrote that, and Charlie thought that was really nice of Fred.
He called me from the shower.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Well, actually, his wife called me and then got him. He was in the shower.
Ew. Now they're both in the shower.
I think back and imagine a day where that could happen.
Right.
You know, and that was just unbelievable to me.
So, second place, I would put McDaniels because I think he's done it a lot of different ways in different, you know, running backs, receivers, no receivers.
Yeah, there's
dunk,
not a
big
lot
play.
To judge O'Brien on, really.
Right. It was a limited sample.
Yeah.
But the funny part is, as of now, the guy we're deeming the worst offensive coordinator may be the best head coach.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and I would also say that I think O'Brien and McDaniels are the same. But I give McDaniels the edge because of the Castle year.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to Billy O. He didn't have that opportunity. But
opportunity.
Well, I mean, to prove that he could do it without without Brady. But I agree with you otherwise. The other part that I think Charlie, and I might be wrong on this might be total BS, but we know that they've had the same offense the entire time, right? They've adjusted the offense and they've expanded it and whatever as Brady has gotten better. Blah, 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 blah. Charlie was here as part of that system to put that system in. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's Charlie's offense.
He's the architect?
I'm not saying that. I don't
Good
know.
Good Andy.
I don't know who the architect of the offense is or ever was. But Charlie was certainly here at the beginning of it, and I give him more points for that.
Also shows that we're unbiased because I personally
like
Josh McDaniels the most, like Billy O'Brien a close second, and Charlie Weiss couldn't get further away from me liking him.
I know you don't.
And
like
I said
Charlie.
He's the best.
Okay.
They're discussing lunch over there, Fred, so don't be distracted.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing over there. Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Guys, how you doing this morning?
Good.
By the way, Jeff Suck, quick couple thoughts on this week. You know, I'm going to keep a close eye on this interior offensive line, and from what I understand, Conley's back in practice today, right?
Indeed.
Okay, great. Well, you know, to me, this next 3 weeks is really going to be a formative stage for this transition on defense, and, you know, big concern on my mind, number one, is keeping Tom Brady upright. You know, my question is, you know, what is going to be the approach on offense? I mean, clearly scoring is the utmost priority right now, but you see Austin Colley being a more integral part of this offense and, you know, controlling the ball in that short passing game. I'm just afraid, you know, taking too many shots down the field is going to jeopardize Brady, you know, and I just want to make sure that we keep this injury bug at bay.
I really think Colley has to be a part of it. Yeah, I do.
With Amendola likely out and Edelman banged up.
They have no choice.
Now, they have choices. They've chosen that Colley's better than Boyce, and they've kind of gone in that direction. But I think Colley will have to be out there probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried, Chester, about taking a lot of shots. I don't think they've taken, you know, an inordinate amount of shots downfield. I expect to be what you said and, you know, continue with that short to intermediate passing game. And I think Colley, like the boy said, he's going to have to do something. If Amendola's out, they're going to need somebody to step in, and it'd probably be him and Amendola. Him and Edelman. I meant
another
Edelman.
Veteran as part of this offense, you know, just to try to get more security out there for Brady. Now, you know, on defense, just knowing that, you know, we're going to have a lot of guys in new spots here, I'm feeling really good about Hightower taking the controls on the play calling, just knowing his success with Alabama. You know, I got to tell you guys just in short here, you know, I'm glad that these injuries have happened early in the season, because I feel like it would have been catastrophic had it been 4 or 5 weeks further, you know, or even after the bye week. But, you know, more than anything, I want to crush these Jets, but, you know, I just want this team to come out the other end healthy, and obviously big bullseye on the Miami game the following week. But just want our guys to go out there and kick some tail and go Pats. You guys have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Chester. All right. It's Chester from Oregon. We got a lot of emails coming in. And, of course, we'll do our picks at the end of the show. So we'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hung?
Hungry.
Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. That was a good lunch. Nice veal parm from Omega.
Just glad we could all share in it when you brought it back up.
That's all right. You know, we're doing this during our lunch hour, so, you know, that's what you get.
Shane Vereen in the locker room.
Yeah? What's he doing?
Does not have a hard cast on his wrist.
Okay.
Didn't talk, just walked through.
Okay. Who's tweeting that?
The scribes.
Several people?
Yes.
Eric's one of them. Gronk talked today. Gronk, black jersey, one of the practice players of the week from last week.
Well, we heard that he was the Jimmy Graham scout team guy. Right? And did a great job on that?
I didn't know if we knew that specifically. That was speculated, I believe.
Oh.
I don't know if it's known.
I would imagine.
Paul's nodding while chewing, so yeah. I don't know what that means, whether it is or isn't known.
Let's go back to the emails.
I don't know if it was like definitive word, but I did read that in multiple stories, that he was serving the role of Jimmy Graham and dominating.
Sure, we'll see video highlights of that on the... Bellistrator or whatever later in the week, like when he did it for Vincent Jackson, and it worked.
Right. Jeff in FLA, I thought the constant talk about Gronk was annoying, but the Peyton Manning talk on PFW Progress this week is annoying.
Shut up. You're annoying. Go
away.
The
week the Patriots host the Donkeys will be intolerable. Everything Irsay said is correct, although it may not be politically correct. Bronco fans already have a bitter taste in their mouth from last year's mile-high meltdown. Manning is a narcissistic quarterback who undermines a well-rounded team that doesn't measure up in the playoffs. Let's talk Patriots who know defense.
If you wanted to talk Patriots, then why did you have four sentences on the Peyton Manning thing? You know, that's Tim Tebow, like, oh, there's Tebow talks, but I just want to weigh in before I go. Like, if you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it. If you don't want to listen about it, then don't listen.
Wow. Okay.
I just that annoys me. He has the ability to click off. He doesn't need to tell us he doesn't like it. I'm sorry. You don't like it. I don't need your opinion on what you don't like.
Cliff and Bama writes in, this is the game we have been waiting on to unleash Trayvon Wilson. the safety we drafted in the second round. The Jets won't have game film on him and will be caught unprepared.
That's Tavon Wilson, who's missed the last two games purportedly with a hamstring injury. Not the child that was shot by George Zimmerman.
Right.
I don't think this is the week that Tavon Wilson has an impact.
He could be out there, but yeah, I don't know if it's going to
I'm not sure he'll be out there. I think he is so far down the list of defensive backs that are going to play that it's not even funny.
Yeah, that was a bad pick.
Really?
Yeah. It was. I mean, at the time, we all were like, what? Wait, what?
Wait for Eric. He really likes to rip that pick.
Colin in Belgium, I don't know if you guys remember, but a while ago I wrote in with a list of Paul Perillo's irrelevant positions on the Patriots, where I joke using classic Paul quotes that most of the positions
I remember that.
On the Patriots, running back, guard, center, slot receiver, linebacker, strong safety, just don't matter. The only things that did matter were QB, edge rusher, cornerback, and left tackle. Well, we're going to put Paul's theory to the test because that's all we've got left, and maybe not even cornerback. If we go very far this season, it will really say something about the Bill and Tom show because it's getting out of hand. Does it seem to you guys like injuries this year are worse than ever across the NFL?
Yes.
Not just us, but it seems like tons of teams are getting creamed, like the Packers, for instance.
Yeah, but the Packers always get creamed, like the Patriots always get creamed.
Now, last year, they had like 11 guys on IR or something like
every
that.
Every year, it feels like.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's worse every year, but I don't think it's worse every year.
I don't know. I think it might be getting...
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yes, Paul.
Has anyone done studies?
I agree with the whole Bill and Tom show and how impressive that would be. But now if that happens, are you guys going to stop making fun of me?
What's that?
If they
right.
find a way to win five of the next six, looks like they won five of the last six. You know, with my whole, you know, this position's all that important and that position's not all that important.
No.
You know...
Well, here's
if they win the Super Bowl, then maybe I'll go down the road. Well, I expect them to win a large chunk of
their next
chunk
of games.
I
don't think flawed teams can win the Super Bowl very often. I think it's hard to win a Super Bowl if you're not a really good team.
I think
in a lot of areas. Now, I don't think Baltimore was the best team in football last year. They got hot at the right time, and they got a little lucky.
Well, I'm not sure the best team in football has won in a long time.
Well, here's the conundrum that a guy like Ron Borges has if the Patriots win the Super Bowl. You know, because he's always a guy that says, you got to have the players. You can't do it without the players. And if the
But I would argue they have the players at the spots that they need to have players
and
at.
If the Patriots do it this year, clearly.
They have the player, Tom Brady.
No, clearly they had the depth.
No.
Which
I
then you have to give credit to Bill Belichick, the GM.
I disagree.
For getting guys who could step up and win football games.
Disagree.
Okay.
If they win it, it's going to be because of Tom Brady. It's going to be because Aqib Talib isn't out for the year and is back. They're not going to win it because Logan Ryan was great and Dane Fletcher made plays and Joe Villano
was the key.
I think
they would have no shot if those guys didn't step up.
Well, but they haven't stepped up.
Right. What are you talking? I mean,
and they're still winning. They
like,
went from
did Marcus Cannon step up last week when he was getting pancaked on his ass?
They went from allowing, you know, 70 yards a game on the ground to 140, and they still won the game because they have Tom Brady. Yeah,
throughout the season, you know, we're in week six now. If these guys don't perform, the Patriots have no shot.
But they haven't performed, and they still have a
shot.
What
do you mean by perform?
They're showing you that. They still will have a shot.
Hold their own.
You keep saying they won't have a shot.
Yeah.
You know?
You make a comment. They won't have a shot if these guys don't play well. They haven't played particularly well, and they've still won games.
No, I think,
so they have a shot.
I think Villano and Jones
Andy's
played well last
Andy's Marcus Cannon
week.
Is a perfect one. They got sacked five times last week. They won the game. You know, so don't tell me they don't have a shot
because,
if the guys don't play well.
Because Tompkins stepped up. And
no, he didn't. He had three catches in the game.
He caught the biggest catch in the
Marcus
game.
Marcus Cannon got his butt kicked.
Oh, guys stepped up in that game.
Who?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris Jones and Villano had a good game in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
A team that was averaging 72 yards rushing ran for 140.
You
that's
know,
stepping up
and
for
and
you.
For 100
the game,
in the second
and,
half.
And at the end of the game, when they had to most, they stepped up. In the critical times, they stepped up. The end of the game, when they
Fred,
needed
I'm not
that
suggesting
touchdown
that they will
they
never have
up.
A successful
right.
play.
Final drive, when they needed that touchdown
the,
pass, Tom Brady stepped up.
On the final drive, when Edelman
does Kimbrell
was
Tompkins
hurt,
make the play if Ryan Mallett is playing?
Up.
If Ryan Mallett's playing quarterback, do they win?
No.
All right. So all your stepping up
so
is irrelevant.
All that stepping up didn't matter.
Still, you got to have the, you know, Mallett wouldn't have been able to deliver, but Austin Colley has to make those two catches.
He didn't do anything, Fred. He caught routine passes that were thrown to him.
Oh, man. You guys give no credit to anybody.
I give a lot of it to number 12 and even more of it to the head coach.
Except in the postseason.
Except in the postseason. Listen, when I say that stepping up and all these cliches that we're throwing out there, I'm not suggesting that these guys never have a successful play. I'm saying there's a noticeable drop-off between the guys that are playing, just like every other team. Don't look at this as an indictment of the Patriots. Every team is going to have a noticeable drop-off when you lose a guy like Vince Wilfork. I'm sorry, the guy who replaces B.J. Raji in Green Bay isn't going to be as good as B.J. Raji. It's not going to happen.
But if he absolutely stinks, then it's going to hurt their team.
You've been borderline that the last 2 weeks.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry, you have been.
Except for Cannon, who's absolutely stunk.
Talking about the defensive line and stopping the run. They've really struggled the last 2 weeks.
Boy.
Boy what? Look at the stats.
They gave up, 13 points the week? How much did they give against
Fred, I'm talking about the run. Bengals. 140 yards. That's what they've allowed. They were allowing about 70.
Against a team that doesn't run. You know why they ran? Because they were shutting down their passing game with guys like Aqib Talib.
Yeah, I think you guys are really overlooking,
I think you're just looking at
I think this team is not deep. I've said it all year long, and I don't think that's changed. Nothing I've seen from these guys stepping up has changed my belief that this is not a very deep football team.
I think you're mistaken two things. One, you're saying because Andy and I are saying they're not deep means they can't win. That's not what we're saying at all.
No, I didn't.
And the second part of that is, I think that you're looking at the result of the game and saying that means that they're deep.
And I think
that the guys that are playing because they won the game. So in other words, let's just say for argument's sake, if the last play goes awry and they don't win, does that mean those guys didn't step up?
Yeah, Tompkins didn't step up.
Not Tompkins. Not Tompkins. Everybody else that you said stepped up. Did they not step up because they lost? Forget Tompkins. Forget the last play.
Right. All those guys had to do what they did in order to get to the point of Tompkins.
Okay, so did they not step up?
Of course they did.
Okay, but you would have lost. Because why? Because there's a noticeable drop-off between what you had and what you have now.
And more importantly, Tompkins isn't depth. He's the guy you chose to be your starting receiver. That's not depth.
I'll repeat
As Bill says, we don't have new guys. They've been here all year. He chose Kenbrell Tompkins to be his starting receiver.
They are depth.
So there's no depth.
Because Hernandez was supposed to be in there. Amendola was supposed to be in there. These guys were not supposed to be the 1-2 targets, Dobson and Tompkins. They were not supposed to be your best
almost guy. No matter what else happened with all that other crap, Tompkins was going to be a starting receiver for this football
team.
Yeah,
but he wasn't target, I said. That's Amendola.
Well, he wasn't
your
number
Gronkowski.
One target on Sunday either. If you want to say that.
And I'll repeat it again. If they get to the Super Bowl with these guys, I think
it'll be the greatest accomplishment for Belichick and Brady.
And I agree with that.
Brady doesn't get any credit. He's working with chicken poop and trying to make chicken salad, and he gets no credit.
No, I agree. If this team gets to the Super Bowl, I agree with what Fred just said. I think that would be the greatest job, without seeing it. My guess is it would be the greatest job because
I don't understand
this
how
team
you can
has
give
no
Brady
depth
credit
whatsoever.
When they give him crap on offense, he takes you to Super Bowl, and you say, it's good crap they gave him. You're giving Belichick all the credit, and this is a hypothetical, obviously.
This crap that you're talking about will have to continue to get better if they're going to make the Super Bowl.
I haven't seen them get better.
I don't think so.
I said they will have to continue to
get
better.
I don't think so.
They're 5-1,
Fred. Against the
I think they're 5-1 without playing very well. Why do I think anything's going to change?
I think they're going to continue to win games. In another breath, you're going to say, they didn't play that good a team.
They played a great team on Sunday, and they beat them.
I said that 3 weeks ago before they played what I think are pretty talented teams.
They played New Orleans on Sunday.
Maybe take Atlanta out of it.
We'll see.
What I'm trying to say to you is, winning doesn't prove that they have depth. Winning proves how great Brady and Belichick are.
Over the course of a season, you can't win unless you have the supporting cast.
Well, for six games, they were able to do it.
You just can't.
I don't think they have a shot in hell to go to the Super Bowl. I'll say that right up front.
Right.
But if they do, it would be an unbelievable accomplishment by Brady and Belichick.
And who?
It's not going to be because Dane Fletcher turns into Patrick Willis.
No. There's no way that if they get to the Super Bowl, guys wouldn't have stepped up besides Tom Brady. Come on.
I don't think anybody stepped up except for
Giselle was right. Her husband can't throw it and catch it. So there's got to be somebody on the other end.
He's pretty much been doing that so far.
Oh, come on.
He decided he had to run it.
For goodness sake.
I just don't know how you can look at the performance and say guys have stepped up.
Well,
Give me an example so I know what my barometer is for stepping up, quote unquote.
Austin Colley is an example for him.
Well, that's what I mean. To me, he didn't step. If a guy catches two passes, You know what? I'll give you an example. If they get Jabbar Gaffney, if one of these guys becomes week in and week out, December, January, into the Super Bowl type, and becomes 8 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown, or David Givens, where every week for a long stretch they're catching touchdowns, they're making plays, then okay, I'll say Dobson or Tompkins or whoever stepped up. But individual snippet plays here or there, I don't consider stepping up.
And I just disagree with the notion that that has to happen in order for them to win. Oh, they've won without it happening.
Well, people will have to make some plays.
No, but my point is they've been able to win without it happening. So I don't see why it all of a sudden we'll have to flip.
No, but people have to make plays. You have to make plays to win.
They've won so far because the defense has stepped up.
Right.
You know?
Because Aqib Talib.
But that's not going to bring him to the Super Bowl.
I think it could.
Yeah.
See, wait, you don't think if Aqib Talib's healthy and plays like this?
I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it could. I'm not dismissing it as a possibility. And this all started because of my whole cockamamie theory that if you have a quarterback and you have a pass rusher and you have a cornerback, you can win.
Yeah.
And I think that you have the defensive player of the year in the first six games.
Yeah.
If he's hurt, that hurts you.
Is that
you.
True? Are people giving him national credit?
I am.
And he's a national guy.
I'm not national, but I'm throwing it out there.
You're not rational either.
No one's ever accused me of that. But my point being is you've had your play at those positions has been excellent at cornerback and quarterback.
Justin Houston?
I said cornerback and quarterback. That's all. Those two guys have been excellent.
Justin Houston might be defensive player of the year candidate.
Maybe. I'll put Talib up against anybody because I don't know anybody that has been able to do what he did 4 weeks in a row. Against Vincent Jackson, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, and Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
I think that to me would be my number one concern his well-being going forward.
5-1's great, but in order to go to the Super Bowl, guys are going to have to step up. There's just no doubt about it, and besides Tom Brady and Aqib Talib. In order to sustain it over 16 weeks and through the playoffs when we know the competition
gets better.
Yeah,
someone will do something in a game or whatever, but I don't think you're going to get what Andy's talking about. Like, all of a sudden a guy emerges as a legitimate threat
that
you can count on.
If I find a guy that says, you know, every big game he caught a touchdown, he caught six, you know, he was there.
Oh, and the other part of that is Gronk would come back and you have a star. And that's different too.
Let's go to Neil in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
Hi, guys. Great show today.
Thank you.
I have a few comments to make. One is I read the editor's note in the Patriots Football Daily.
And oh, you're the one?
On the serious side, Brett, I think you're a really good, great writer. I really enjoy the articles every week. It's just letting you know. I don't know if anyone ever tells you that.
Oh, no, not around here, but thank you.
No, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
On my second serious point, when you're talking about the on ranking the offensive coordinators, if memory serves me, and I'll defer to you, Paul, because I know you remember all the games really well, I think Weiss is the best, but not for any of the reasons you mentioned. I thought he was the best at making second-half adjustments. And I haven't really seen that. I don't really remember Bill O'Brien's record in that, but I haven't really seen that so well in Josh McDaniel. But I thought Weiss was great in that, and I'm remembering the last Super Bowl the Patriots won where they did nothing in the first half. And I think he went to some screen passes, and that seemed to unlock things, and the Patriots obviously beat the Eagles. So just tossing that out there. And the last thing I wanted to comment on is the rant the earlier gentleman made on Eric. I've been a supporter of Eric. I realize he doesn't like his job. He makes that very, very transparent. He walks around with a sign on his head saying, please tease me. And I know it's like shooting fish in a barrel for you guys. But having this word of the day thing on the Rook show, Eric, can you spell the word narcissist? It's absolutely absurd. That would be if Andy went to you, Fred, and said, I'd like to have a segment in every show saying, the best breasts of the day, the women with the best breasts.
Right.
And having a segment on that.
Be a more popular segment.
Be a lot more popular.
Well, yeah, now that I've said that, I'm saying.
why don't we do that?
That sounds like an idea.
We'd have to have the cameras.
In Eric's case, who cares? I mean, I have a great vocabulary. I'm sure more degrees than Eric does.
I'm sure you do,
who
too.
Who cares?
I know. Well, so I don't know. I think the callers need to say something because he's not going to listen to us. So
why would he listen to his boss?
Right.
I mean, I don't know why John allows that in his show. I really don't.
I think John's just happy for the company.
Yeah, I think John's just happy to have somebody else in studio.
Right.
The other thing Eric did in one of the Rook shows last week, I don't know if you heard about it at all, but he actually yelled at a listener. I forget the exact topic, but the like listener said, well, how do you know Eric? And Eric said, yelled at him, saying, it's my job. Did you guys hear
I
that
actually,
at all?
I didn't hear it live, but it was brought to my attention.
Wasn't that the Hakeem Nicks?
That was
or
the
something?
Hakeem Nicks comment. You know, someone had the idea. Was it Eldridge, Kevin? That's what you said? Had the audacity to suggest that Hakeem Nicks would be a viable option out there with the Giants being winless and perhaps in the last year of his contract, a very talented guy. And someone suggested that they go after him in the trade. And Eric dismissed him by saying he's just another guy. He's right. A jag. And I guess Eldridge said to him, have you ever seen him play? And that's when you got the comment that Neil just made, it's my job
which
to watch
I
football.
Thought was really out of line.
Especially because Hakeem Nicks is a good player. And he evidently thinks he stinks.
And that's right. I mean, Eric has the right to his opinion, too. But instead of saying, well, it was my job, he could say, it's because I've observed him play, and there are these features to do with him or his contract or the schemes he plays that I don't think are proper. That would be okay. But just saying, it's my job? I mean, come on.
I know. Bill Belichick brought enough of Hakeem Nicks, by the way, to put the whole Super Bowl game plan around Cruz and Nicks.
I do agree. Eric's getting worse.
Yeah, I mean,
he's getting more and more upset.
The whole thing is he makes it so transparent how much he hates his job. And I'm sorry, if I know that, that's bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It just shows. All right. Thanks, Neil.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Neil.
And Neil knows a little something about being pompous. You know, I have a great vocabulary, too, and many more degrees than Eric ever will.
But he doesn't feel the need to tell everybody about him every 5 seconds.
Well, he just did. It's the first time I've ever spoken with Neil, so.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world,
love
says,
you,
could
Neil.
The emailer that dug up the quotes on Paul's unimportant positions do one on Paul's quotes on useless coaches? That's another one I'd love to hear.
Jason Garrett. There's a lot. That's a longer list.
By the way, Fred, I was mistaken. It wasn't Eldridge. It was Patrick who's online, too.
Okay, so Patrick is the guy that Eric yelled at.
The guy Eric yelled at is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Gentlemen, how you doing? I heard that call. I was by my computer, so I just wanted to come and clean everything up.
Okay.
I suggested to him that they would they could look at Hakeem Nicks, that he had ability. He felt like, Hakeem Nicks wasn't that big of a deal. But he jumped all over me to the point where I actually had to come back at him and say, wait a second. You know, do you know every play on every roster in the NFL? Because he was so defensive and actually he was rude and he was indignant.
Yeah, that's Eric.
And I didn't like it.
Did that day end in day?
And I did try to clean it up a little bit. I said, John, tell your guy that, you know, it's water under the bridge at this point. But I felt like he had really jumped on me in a manner that was not representative of the statement that I was making.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I want to say. But while I'm on the phone with you guys, I just want to tell you that everyone in New York that's a Patriot hater, with the exception of myself, they all can't believe that you guys are 5-1. That's the big thing that's going on is the record is that no one expected you to be 5-1. If you were 3-3 at this point, or let's say even 4-2, that they felt like maybe that's where the record should be. So I think Belichick, you got to give him an A. And the depth of the team is maybe a little bit better than we all think, because the two guys in the middle, Jones and Villano, or whatever his name is, they're playing pretty decent. I don't know if they're going to get exposed as time goes on, but it's been pretty good. Now the receivers are settling in a little bit. You're starting to see that Dotson can do some things.
Right. And
Kimbrell can do some things.
I think,
given time, if they aren't good, they will be exposed.
What I don't understand is where are the receivers settling in? Like, when did you last week think they were better than they were 3 weeks earlier?
Okay, I'll tell you what. The catch by Kimbrell Tompkins, to me, that is a major league catch. He took the ball at the high point.
But that's one play.
Earlier in the year, you might have expected a drop or him to misjudge the ball. And you're starting to see Dotson
said, I think he's the guy, because I think Kimbrel Thompson,
I think he's a disaster, to be
you know,
honest with you.
People like Chris Carter and other people like that in the league, and I know you guys are not big Chris Carter guys, they're starting to say that Kimbrel Thompson plays like he belongs. But I think the guy Dotson, who everyone had really high hopes for, he's the guy that I think is playing less like a nervous rookie in my own eyes. Now, I could be wrong. I'm just telling you what I perceive based on what I've seen.
I don't want to be all Eric on you, but I think you're dead wrong. I think Dobson has struggled. He's dropped easy balls.
And
he's not
he's,
been in the
I,
right
and
spot.
And I think he's getting worse.
Yeah, I just – and
oh,
I agree.
He's getting worse.
He should be the guy, but he isn't, and he's not getting any better.
Okay, here's what I will say. I know he struggled. I thought last week after he dropped that ball on that fourth down play that he kind of bounced back a little bit. And Brady, for whatever reason, seems to have a little confidence in this guy. I don't know if it's from practice or...
Who is he going to throw the ball to?
Well, that's true, too.
You know what I mean, Patrick?
I mean, he cannot throw the ball and catch it, too.
He has no options but to show confidence in these guys because he can't freeze them out. He can't.
Okay, well, I'll leave you with this. If Stephen Ridley can stay healthy, they'll always have a chance because he has explosiveness enough to where they've got to honor him. And I think DBs and coaches will go one-on-one with these receivers, and there's going to be opportunities because of the one-on-ones. These guys have just got to start catching the ball. I know the Patriots are leading the league, I think, in two bad things, drop balls and red zone scoring.
Right.
And to me, knowing what I know about Bill Belichick, because I knew him when he was a Giant head coach, that's why I'm a Patriot now, because they didn't give him the job when he was supposed to get it back then. They gave it to some guy named some running back coach or something. They gave it to him instead of giving it to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick will have those rookies, if they have the ability that I think they do, playing pretty good by week 10, 11. I really believe that. So long, guys. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Patrick.
You guys won a great show.
I'm sorry Eric yelled at you.
Yeah. I just think it's funny.
That's really embarrassing.
He just starts laughing, though. Paul goes, who's he going to throw to?
Good point. But, I mean, I think that Andy and I sort of get misunderstood a little bit when we say that they don't, you know, they don't have – I'm not suggesting that the guys that they have on their team are not NFL players and don't deserve ever to have a ball. Like, Kimbrel Thompson caught a ball in the end zone, made an enormous play to win a game. By the way, Fred, against a very, very good football team in New Orleans. Don't ever say that I said that the Saints win wasn't a good win. I think it was the best win they've had in the regular season in years. He made a play. Like, what I'm talking about is what Andy described with Jabari Gaffney way back when all of a sudden he comes in and he catches a ball or two, but now all of a sudden he's catching eight every week, and he's a consistent threat. These guys are not consistent ever. They're not any more consistent today than they were in week one. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at the improvement. I don't see this improvement that people are talking about. And as far as the two defensive tackles go, they're getting blown off the ball a lot.
And what I'm saying is if they go all the way, they will have had to have improved.
Okay, but what I'm saying is why? They've already shown that they can have...
all the way unless they do.
And I'm saying they've already shown that they can do that. They can win without them improving.
They're going to come up against better teams.
New Orleans is one of
the
best
teams. New Orleans is as good a team as you're going
to
face.
And they had a miraculous finish to win.
But they won.
That's true.
Am
I saying I think they can beat three of those in a row? No, I don't.
That's why I don't think they can go to the Super Bowl. I don't think they're as good as the teams they're going to play.
A playoff caliber team, a Super Bowl challenger team this week.
My point is, they're going to play three New Orleanses to win the Super Bowl.
What's that?
I think they'll have to beat three New Orleanses to win a Super Bowl,
or better. You know?
Okay, that's where That's why I don't think it's going to happen because of what you just said.
I don't say better though.
They got a little lucky.
Who's better?
Well, I think when you talk about the elite teams, especially in the NFC, but even before they get there, you know, obviously Denver's better, right?
Denver's defense blows, and I think their offense is not going to be as good by the time they face it. If they face them in the playoffs,
why do you
think
the Patriots are going to be better?
I don't necessarily, but I think their defense blows. I think they could score some points on them potentially. I don't know if they can win a shootout.
Wait a minute.
I
mean, you think the Patriots can score some points on Denver defense?
Yes.
Okay.
And if I get a turnover here or there, then I have a chance. I don't think there are any teams that are miraculous.
Okay.
I think the Saints are in line with any team you're going to face to have to win a playoff game.
Yeah, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not suggesting that they can't beat anybody.
Of course.
They can beat anybody.
Of course.
And if they get multiple turnovers like that, they can absolutely beat Denver.
Yeah, they've played.
I'm not suggesting that they can't beat Denver no matter what.
They have 10 more left. In order to sustain what they're doing, guys are going to have to keep improving.
Yeah, and that's the only thing I disagree with you on. I think as long as you can keep enough guys healthy.
Certainly not if Gronk comes back.
If Gronk comes back and you have Brady healthy, that's going to be enough offense for you to
win.
Who
are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of Miami, for example.
Well, you're not going to have a hard time if you can get Gronk back. You're going to be able to score points against
Miami.
But
you're afraid. I'm talking
about...
But even
on defense, if Talib is out, you know, then...
I said that. That's quarterback and quarterback.
Yeah. You know, and I think Patrick said it right. I think, you know, Volano and Jones has looked good, but, I mean...
I don't see... I disagree.
Maybe the more they're out there and the more teams have... They'll get exposed unless they keep improving.
Yeah, I'm not sure they've looked good.
Well...
A team that doesn't run ran for 100 yards in less than a half against you.
Well, I...
They were coming in, they averaged 70-something yards a game. I think it was 74 yards a game. They ran for 131.
That's, you know, the Patriots were looking for pass at first, and then they loaded up in the box at the
Fred,
end, and they stopped
all
the run.
Teams that the Patriots play, they're usually in sub, and they're looking for them to throw. But they stopped the run. But now they can't.
I think these guys are playing their hearts out.
Of course
I'm sure they
are.
Now, don't question performance with effort. There's a difference. Yeah. You can try your ass
I
off,
think the two,
but if you're an undrafted rookie, you might not be good enough.
I think the two of them have been great in terms of their effort and, you know, their ability to be out there. I mean, Chris Jones played every snap the other day. He's gotten a couple of plays here and there. Volano made a couple of plays
I just
on
don't
screens.
Think there's no way Brady can do this all by himself. There's no way that
Talib
could do this all by himself because otherwise, you know, Brady's been here for a while and they haven't won every year and they've had better offenses than they have now.
And they have a better defense now.
So the guys are going to have to step up if they're going to go all the way.
It's... Yeah, and you're making it, you're misunderstanding Andy and I with this whole singular all by himself. It's not one man all by himself. As long as he has Gronk with him, Talib is healthy on the other side, you're getting some production from maybe Chandler Jones, that's enough. The other guys that you think are going to have to make this meteoric rise, that's not really part of the equation.
Marvin in North Carolina, great show as always. Tom has shown the tendency to press so hard this season on himself, as well as all the receivers, for total perfection that I think it is making him less accurate than he has been in the past. In the last minutes on Sunday, he did not have time to really think so much about being perfect. Just sling it, Tom. It appears to me that Tom might be better off with more of just slinging it in that attitude than the hardcore press every single play. Like to hear your thoughts. Thanks for all you do.
Is it that, or were they running a limited offense? Because Austin Colley was on the field. It was 2 minutes. They had to run multiple plays.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to that sound effects, McDaniels is with him on the sideline before that last series. He's like, look, we're going to have to run this play, then clock it,
right,
and then try to take a thing for the end zone.
And then Brady said of Colley, it's not like he was out there knowing the whole playbook. We ran specific plays that he had already learned. So, you know, all these people that have been saying maybe they just need to dial it back a little bit and not ask these receivers to do quite as much in terms of adjustments and blah, blah, blah. Maybe we saw a little example of that in that drive.
Yeah, that's the part of it that I think was – I think that Emiller makes a good point about you don't have time to think on that last drive, but I don't think it affects Brady. Like Andy says, it affects the receivers. They can just go out there and say, what do we have, 4 or 5 plays
right
in a 2 minute? How many different plays do you think they have? They have to line up in the same spots because you can't waste time with shifts.
Right.
So I'm either running a comeback, okay, a go, you know, a little in cut.
So if you line up on the left side wide on the first play, you're going to be there the next 5 too, unless you get a situation where you can huddle and the ball got out of bounds and you can huddle, then you might change your formation. But when you're going hurry there with time a factor, you can't switch. You can't line up in the slot, go in motion. You got to, it's snap it and go. And I think that helped Tompkins, Dobson, certainly Colley, who was playing as a Patriot for the first time, a lot more than it helps Brady. Brady's been there a million times.
Eric's here.
Hey, Freddie.
And boy, Eric, fans are really...
Someone suggested that the word of the day today was miscreant.
Why?
For you.
They don't think you like your job and that it comes through. That it's apparent you don't.
Why
like
is there all this talk about me when I'm not here?
Oh, I'll take that silence.
It's a lot.
We go where the email takes us.
Well, you're here.
The
I'll tell you how it started.
The email's
today
supposed to be about this football team.
Well, it started.
Those of us who cover
it started today because of your comment yesterday that you didn't have necessarily an emotional attachment to what you do. And then some people,
I didn't say I didn't have an emotional attachment to what I do. I don't have an emotional attachment to who wins
to
the
who
games.
Wins.
Well, and Patrick,
I don't play the games.
People were upset about
Patrick from
that.
Brooklyn said you yelled at him.
And then Patrick said that you yelled at him last week about Akeem Nicks.
And people don't think you like what you're doing, and it's coming through. Is that true?
That's how we got up on your topic today, based on your comments yesterday.
No.
What? No what?
No.
It was like Peter Gammons to Fred Tutcher the other day. No. Did you hear about that?
No.
What? Speaking of pompous douchebags.
What a jerk.
Peter Gammons is a Hall of Fame douchebag.
Yes, literally.
It astounds me that people can't grasp the concept of impartiality. These people are so entrenched with loving their football team, regardless of what goes on, that they can't understand that there are people in this world who can separate the two.
That's our audience, is the Patriots fans.
Right. So they need to understand that there is such a thing called impartiality and objectivity, and there are some of us who have it.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah. Not with sports.
I'm an emotional wreck.
But it's possible. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't like what you do.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it means that I love what I do even more because I take it that much more seriously.
Okay. All right. All right.
I mean, that's what has become lost in journalism today, I think, is everybody has an agenda. You're not supposed to have an agenda as a journalist.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, we try our best here, but, you know, journalists don't work for the team that they cover. You know, we do our best to overcome that, but that's you know.
Yes, but we're also not cheerleaders.
Notwithstanding,
right?
I'm a cheerleader.
Right, Paul, Andy, and I are not cheerleaders.
Yeah,
I mean, I do recall when Tabucky Jones returned the fumble in the Superdome, that ended up getting called back in Super Bowl 36.
Did you spill your soda all over the place?
No, I jumped up and down with my arms over my head out in the auxiliary press box, and some jerk dumped a Pat O'Brien hurricane on all over
Tabucky's
me.
Look,
Tabucky.
I understand that there are people who are so passionate about their team and they want them to win, and that's fine. But I also think that there are people out there who are just as passionate about their team who want to know, who want the straight.
Well, that's what
goes on. Right.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you have to look at things with an impartial viewpoint. If you don't, and you're always saying, oh, yeah, things are great. Or you're always saying, oh, things are terrible.
Well,
how can anyone take you seriously?
Not necessarily. You can still want the Patriots to win, but criticize them objectively.
I think you could be analytical.
I think that's called being a New England fan, personally.
Yeah, I think
New England
analytical.
Fans are negative.
I mean, you know, you can still root for somebody, but still be objectively critical of what they're doing because you want them to do better.
I don't think New England fans are negative anymore.
Oh, I do. I think the young ones.
I think the last decade has taken that away.
I think
away.
The people deemed pink hats are not. I think the long-standing New England fans are.
I don't think there are many
get.
Boston fans that ever think their team are ever going to lose.
The young ones,
right now,
because they haven't.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
The pink hats.
And let me just add one more point here. There are plenty of players in that locker room who don't give a damn one way or the other whether they win or lose. I can see that on their faces and in the way they talk after games.
But that's not good.
I don't believe that.
No.
I believe that there are probably players in that locker room that
they care.
Someone who writes into our show might care more about a loss than they do, but that they don't care.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Well,
they get over it very quickly, as when they're walking to their car in the parking lot after the game. They're over it.
But as a fan, we don't like that.
Well, but that's how most of these players are.
But
what do you think, Andy? You think there's a lot of players?
Why is that not good?
And I don't think most players.
Professional players. They get paid to play a sport.
Right.
They lose. It hurts a little bit after the locker room. But you see them after games. They're running up to the other opponent, hugging, smiling, laughing.
I don't think that doesn't mean that they care.
Yeah, I don't
think. That means they don't care.
I think that they're
all. No, but they're not going home and weeping for 10 weeks.
I think in order to get to where they are, I don't care if you're the 53rd guy on the roster, you've been a competitive person all your life. And yeah, now they get paid to do it, but you still want to win.
You do, but there are fans who write in and say, oh, I'm miserable. I can't watch the TV for 2 months because they lost the Super Bowl. None of these guys are doing that. These guys are
to Eric's point, do you think anybody is like not able to say the word Super Bowl 42? Like the emailer said that I keep bringing up Super Bowl 42. Like, do you think anybody that played in that game, Brady, Mankins, like you can't even say the word Super Bowl 42 without making them nauseous?
I'm sure Mankins doesn't feel that way.
Well, I don't know.
It's over.
Yeah.
It happened.
They get over it very quickly.
But I think they still want to win, and I think
I think they care more than.
But when the game is over, they get over it very quickly. It doesn't take them more than a day or two to get over these losses.
Well, you know.
Whereas fans are in depressions for 6 months until football season starts again.
Well, yeah, but in
that's being detached from reality.
Football is their job.
And that's right? Why they comment on what you say, because you make fun of them so much.
Football is their job. When they go
right.
home.
It's their job.
It's their job. So, you know.
They get paid for it. There are parts of it that they don't like. It's like any other job.
Sometimes they want it. But for us, you know, for our fans, football isn't their job. It's their passion.
Obsession in some cases.
It's their passion. So they have a different feeling after the game, you know, than someone who's, you know, God, you know, I just put in 100 hours this week at the stadium. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go home and play some video games, you know?
Right.
Or whatever.
I think fans should take that into account when they're obsessing for 6 months after a Super Bowl loss, that the guys who are actually directly involved with it aren't taking it nearly as seriously as the people who are in a depression sitting in the stands or watching on their couch at home.
But I think that's a far cry then from just, hey, rooting for a team, you know, which is what we're talking about, you know, when you're watching sports. Take a side. Make it fun. You know, you're not at a museum.
No, sometimes I do, but not always.
Yeah.
And I don't see why that's such a problem for people.
That bothered some people today.
It really did.
Well, then they really have bigger issues than I can help them with.
Okay.
If they're worried about that.
And the phones are lighting up.
Just so you know, on Tuesday.
That's why they hate you.
On Tuesday, that line's probably going to bother some other people when they hear it.
Tuesday.
Anthony's in Virginia. Hey, Anthony.
I'm calling back because he's here. I need to. And now you even said something that bothers you even more, Eric.
Wait, who is this?
Anthony in Virginia.
Oh.
I've never called before until today because of what you said yesterday. And then you just said something again that blows my mind. You have no idea what a fan's truly about. Let me explain to you what a fan's about. I grew up with my grandfather who came over from Poland and was a huge Red Sox fan because that was the first thing he loved when he came to America. And he died before they won the World Series. When they won the World Series, it wasn't just about the Red Sox winning the World Series. It was about all those memories I associated with, seeing him struggle and seeing him not win. There was the more emotion in it. It's the same thing with the Patriots. Yeah, maybe there's some guys who don't care if they win, but there's a lot of guys that give their all on that field that I guarantee you are wrong, that when they go home, it eats them up. Because maybe they don't want to show you as a journalist that rips them apart in the paper and stuff, that it bothers them. That's the truth. You are so delusional as a journalist, it drives me nuts. You care more about talking about stupid words of the day than being an actual fan when it comes to this team. If you grew up wanting to be a journalist, I would assume that you cared about sports and sports teams. And now you're talking about, oh, it doesn't matter and stuff. If you don't like this job, I guarantee you, go to monster.com. There's plenty of other jobs out there that you can do. And for you to
what's
say
that now?
That
Monster what?
Yeah, monster.com.
Okay.
Yeah, write it down.
That was Paul, by the way.
That was for me.
That was Paul, by the way.
Oh, okay. It drives me insane. I love this show. But when you talk, I'd rather listen to Jeff in Vegas for 20 minutes talk about sports.
Wow.
Well,
that's
a
low blow.
Okay, Anthony, I've let you have your say. Are you willing to hear me out now?
I'm not yet. Go
right heavens to Betsy!
After Kevin plays the drop. Are you ready to hear my side of things now?
100%.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because you don't apparently know anything about my background as a child and my stories about how I grew up and the fan that I was when I was a kid. I have and still have to this day a royal blue starter jacket, the kind that Raymond Berry used to wear on the sidelines when he was head coach of the New England Patriots. I loved LOVE, capital letters, this football team more than any other thing in the world when I was a child, when I was growing up, when they were losing seasons, when they were losing playoff games, when they were losing Super Bowl 20, 46-10. I was wearing that blue starter jacket to school every day, getting made fun of by adults, not kids in my class, who also made fun of me for wearing the jacket. Adults would come up to me on the street and say, "You're wearing a loser's jacket, kid." I still would wear it. You know why? Because I loved this football team more than anything.
What happened?
My parents used to drive me to prep school. We would always have to drive by exit 14A on Route 495, which is the exit for Wrentham, Foxborough to get to Gillette Stadium. Every time we would drive by that exit, I would say to my parents, There's my office. I'm going to be working there someday. Now, I thought I was going to be doing it as a player, but I would say that every time we would drive by that exit, I would say, there's my office. I'm going to be working there someday. Ask them. I would do it every single time because I loved this football team more than anything.
So let me ask a question.
No, let me finish. I told you to hear me out. Let me finish, Anthony.
Not a problem.
We got to do the picks at some point.
We'll have plenty of time to do the picks. When this guy sitting across from me emailed me out of the blue in 2005 and asked me if I wanted to come and work for him, I said yes at the drop of a hat because I loved this football team more than anything.
You didn't email me, Fred.
Now that I've had this job, it's a job, Anthony, and I take it seriously, and I like it. I have been able to do and experience more things than I would have ever been able to do had I not gotten this job. I've met wonderful people. I've made great friends. I love doing what I do, and I take it seriously, which is why I'm objective, because you know why? It's a job now. I'm no longer a fan of the football team. I've seen all the workings inside and out and how a business runs in the National Football League. I've seen and heard players talk about what the job means to them and earning a paycheck. I know what it's like because I'm on the inside, and I have a perspective now that I'd never had before as a fan. So I take my job very seriously, and I love my job, and I like most of the people that I work with.
Most.
But that doesn't mean that I have to still be a fan. You have to grow.
Andy, I think we can all assume he's talking about you now.
They're sidetracking me on a very good rant here,
trying to make me laugh.
It's an excellent rant.
But that's the perspective that I'm coming from, Anthony. And I don't mean to, and I'm not trying to yell at you. I'm just trying to emphasize my point to make it clear, not just to you, but to everyone else listening who's trying to criticize, who think they know us because they hear us for 2 hours a day on a radio show. You don't know everything about our lives and what happened to us and how we got to where we are.
Are you saying working here kind of took the love out of it for you?
You lose some of the novelty of it when you see the ugly underbelly, when you see everything that goes on.
It's a
inside
job.
And out. It's a job. Just like to the players, it's a job. On the field, when the seconds are ticking down and they're losing, of course they feel bad. Of course they're hurt. You see them on the sidelines. Their heads are drooping. Some of them even have tears in their eyes. It means a lot to them. But as soon as they take a shower, get dressed, walk to their car, go see their families, it's over for them. They don't care that much after the fact. They're still getting 6- and 7-figure salaries. They don't care as much as people like I used to be and how Anthony is now. They don't care that much. It's a job to them just like it's a job to us.
I disagree. I think they do care.
I still want the team to do well because I love going to playoff games. I said this yesterday. I love going to Super Bowls. I said that yesterday. I love going to the combine and doing all the things that we get to experience. But if this team wins or loses, I still get the same paycheck that I would have. Yeah. I still have the same opportunities that I would have.
You don't get
nothing changes. I don't yet. If they go to the Super Bowl and they lose, I still get the same things I would have always gotten. It means a lot to me to have the job, but I don't pout and sit around and get depressed about it, and neither do the players, and neither should the fans, is my point. You can feel sorry for a day or two, but get over it.
Well, there you go, Anthony.
I lost. I mean, I don't know. I guess if this is your dream job, and you said when you were growing up, you wanted to be a player, but this was your dream job. Besides you telling us right now what you think, over the last couple of years, we listened to you, you don't show it. I understand it's your job, and this is all, you lose interest and stuff like that. But if you grew up a fan, it's always a part of you. Listen to the other three when they talk.
I do. I hear them all the time. We have conversations all the time about games we used to go to and fans.
Listen, I totally get Eric's work angle of it because there's a lot of times that I feel the same way. It's not anywhere near as fun when you work
It is when you're
tailgating and looking forward to a Sunday.
Up, I was going to live at Disney World. I was going to have an apartment in the castle.
Is that the only place that you didn't work?
Because I love Disney World. But now I realize that if I had ended up working at Disney World, it's a little different than looking at it as a fan,
Yeah.
But I also have to say that I desperately want the Patriots to win every game. I do. I root for them to win every game.
Yeah. That's fine. For the most part, I'm with you. There's times that I just don't care. And I understand where Eric is coming from with that.
Yeah. See, I always do.
I care if they win or lose, but I don't get all upset about it if they don't.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't go into a depression.
Yeah, and Fred doesn't either.
Although, after that big...
Well, that was Super Bowl 42 was different. I think we were all hit hard by that one.
I came home.
That is an exception.
I came home with all this swag. To this day, I have never put one of those pieces of clothing
on. I dumped about $700. You wonder why I need a 401k loan for my credit card.
Thanks for calling in.
I dumped about $700 on Super Bowl swag because I was convinced that we were going 19-0.
So was I.
Now, unlike you, I don't have any. This is where I'm a little bit more balanced. I have no problem wearing it. I mean, they lost. What are you going to do?
I will not wear it.
I mean, I think that's a little silly. You bought stuff and won't wear it because they lost the football game.
I'm not going to wear it.
That you didn't play in.
I don't care.
Like, I don't get that.
I haven't worn any of my Super Bowl stuff.
Yeah. And you're the completely unbalanced guy that we're talking about right now. You were in an absolute funk sitting down on the grounds next to a trash barrel.
You were.
After they lost in Indianapolis. You are the poster child, my friend, of what Eric just ranted about.
It was a bad day.
I'm not even talking about Indy. I'm talking about...
Yeah, you're talking about Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah.
He wasn't in Arizona. He was.
We were all hit hard.
By Arizona. I have to admit that, Mister. I don't really care who wins. That bothered me, the Arizona loss and carrying. Never mind.
Dave in Connecticut, make it quick. Yeah. Dave, we have to do picks, so make it quick.
I'm just gonna do it real quick. I mean, I can respect what Eric's saying, but I mean, deep down, I know he cares. All right, or he wouldn't be doing his job. Secondly, I think with the players, if you look at Tompkins in the end zone, don't tell me he didn't care. He caught that ball. And just to finish it, how about Zolak on the radio going absolutely bananas, you know, talking about where's the beef? Cause you
said, where's the beef?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think Eric's point is.
And as a fan, you know, I'm always going to care. I mean, I live and die with this team. And I said it before. I mean, when we win, I'm smiles all week. When we lose... Don't talk to me till Friday, bro.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like a grizzly bear. Because
I think so, Scott Zolak, if they had not made that catch, Scott Zolak would have been fine on Monday.
I know it's one game at a time, and you know, I mean, you were talking about your little blue jacket. I mean, when I was a little kid, I remember putting my white Patriot plastic helmet on and playing football in the yard with my older brother, and I was always the Patriots. Okay, I love them when they suck.
So you lost a lot.
I love them when they're good, and you know what? As a fan right now, we're spoiled. We've had this guy, Tom Brady, who, you know, for whatever reason, you know, in that sixth round came into our lives and really, you know, took us. And I'm not going to say just Brady. I mean, you know, Bledsoe played a part in that, too, in turning this franchise around.
Now you
can
pause
attention. Stock, now we're a model. And I'm proud to be a Patriot fan.
All right.
And, you know, that's all I really have to say. And, you know, like I said, I know Eric, you know, can say he doesn't care. But deep down he does. I know it bothers him. I know it's his job too. And I know he's supposed to be objective, as all you guys are. I think all you guys do a great job.
Except me.
And, you know, keep doing the good work, guys.
You've had a good year.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
And you're objective on Sunday nights.
That's good radio. It's good radio.
Yeah. Well, it's a good rant.
Yeah.
It's a good Eric rant.
Yeah.
Are we doing picks today?
Yeah, we got to do
picks. We got plenty of time.
All right. Let's see. So,
I want to, real quick.
Yeah.
Just to clarify yesterday, our cupcakes, the one that I was raving about was the Twix-O-Vitch.
Yeah.
That was Rob Ninkovich's.
Well, we talked to him about that
in
the locker
room.
He
said he likes Twix and they made it. It's what I expected.
They came to him and said, what's your favorite candy bar? He said a Twix, so they made it up.
He didn't exactly make it.
No, but.
But it's freaking phenomenal.
It is. It really is.
I think it might be the best cupcake I ever had. Maybe that one from Rosie in Indianapolis, the strawberry moist. But it's in the top two of best cupcakes ever. Okay. So go to Cupcake Charlie's at Patriot Place and get a cupcake. A Twix-O-Vitch. I still have trouble saying it.
CupcakeCharlie's.com.
Fred Kirsch just continues to dominate. It's his world. We're all just living in it. Last week, he wins the week at 12-3. Paul and Eric were 11-4. Andy was 9-6. That was the overall with the spread. Just another week where Fred separates himself as the only one to go over 500 at 8-6-1. Eric was 6-8-1. Paul and Andy were 5-9-1. So the season standings are as follows: Fred is 60-32. Paul and Eric are 58-34. Andy is 56-36. With a spread, this is extremely impressive at this point. 6 weeks in, 50-37-5 is Fred Kirsch.
That's why he drives a Lexus.
The only one over 500. Eric is 43-44-5. Andy is 41-46-5, and I am in last place at 39-48-5.
That's because you keep the book.
I'm 12 games behind Fred.
You notice I haven't had anybody wonder about my bookkeeping skills this year.
All of Everett is
struggling.
With Fred dominating, I'm wondering about your bookkeeping skills. He's never dominated like this before.
I forget the gentleman's name. Is it Jason that keeps the track of the numbers?
Oh, yeah, he clarified.
He clarified that he didn't have Andy's picks from the radio the week that he wasn't here. Went by the paper. As we all know, Andy could pick one thing.
Right.
10 minutes later, pick totally the opposite. So,
and truly believe in
those,
both, by the way.
Those two, not necessarily in sync. There was one minor error in the, I believe, your picks with the spread that was off, but probably for the same reason. Otherwise, his numbers jive with mine.
Very good. All right. So we start with the Thursday night game, Seattle at Arizona.
Seattle by 6.5.
Seattle 6.5 on the road.
Yeah, it's Seattle on the road, but I just have no faith in Arizona. Seattle, very physical football team. I think they will get after Carson Palmer, who, other than Eli Manning, is known as Mr. Interception. I think Seattle wins and covers.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take the road Hawks.
Fred, you see this?
To win and cover. I think they're just the better team.
Yeah, and I think at some point Seattle's got to put it together. 3 weeks in a row now, they've pretty much struggled. I think they need to put together a complete performance, and on the road, they are not the same. I think it's time for them to put together a 60-minute effort in cover.
Okay. I'm going to go with Arizona covering, Seattle winning. I think this becomes a pretty tough game. Arizona is one of those teams that they've had some good weeks and some bad weeks, but I think they turned it on for this game.
Is this the portion of the picks contest where Fred allows us all to get back in it?
Yep. So I'm going to go with Seattle winning but not covering. Sunday at 1, Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Atlanta by 7 coming off the bye.
Atlanta coming out of the bye. They kept Tony Gonzalez because they're still fighting to win.
Evidently, he says he's not planning on jumping ship and going anywhere.
That's because they're going to win this, and it's going to start their drive towards trying to make the playoffs. They win in cover.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is a sinking ship, if you pardon the pun. And Atlanta, even though they're...
it's a mutiny.
Even though Atlanta is not really a very good football team at this point, they're better than the Buccaneers. I think they win in cover.
What's the number, Paul?
For that 7. For that reason, I will take the Falcons as well.
Life without team. Julio.
I'm going with my two bad teams. I'm going to take the road team.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta has quickly found themselves into that category.
How about the two bad teams and one of which likes their coach?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they always say.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
That's what they always say on Shark Tank, Paul. For that reason, I am out.
Yeah. And for that, yeah, Robert always says that.
For that
Did
reason,
you know
reason,
those things take forever to tape?
I would imagine.
I read a thing like each one of the deals is like 6 hours long.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they kind of ruined it for me because I thought they were making like these like crunch numbers, boom, like deals. Like,
well, you do have to sit there and wonder, how can they be committing this kind of money so quickly?
Because it's all day, it's like an all day. Each one takes like a long time. It's like 6 hours.
See,
I read
to me, still, that's pretty fast.
Yeah, it's not as cool as I thought they were making like multi-million-dollar deals on like.
I like the show.
Flippantly.
It's a good show.
Oh, I love the show.
Oh, it's a very good show.
I love when the guy, you know, clearly the guys like me that have no business acumen at all. They just come up with some kind of idea, and they go in there with just a warped valuation. It's like, you know,
right.
I'm seeking $8 million for 5% of my company, and they don't understand when they're like, so you're saying it's worth, you know.
Right. And what are your sales to date? My mom bought one.
Yeah. I sold 4 on the internet last week.
All right. I'm going to go with Atlanta both ways. St. Louis at Carolina, Sunday at 1. St. Louis at Carolina.
Carolina by 6.
These are tough games.
I think.
Okay. I'm going to take my Rams with the Samchise to pull off the upset here. I think the Carolina defense stinks. I think the St. Louis defense is pretty good, and I think that front will make life tough on Cam Newton.
I think I did pick the Rams in the paper, so to be consistent, I'll pick them again here, Paul. Carolina's a scary team, though, because one week they're blowing out the Giants by 30 points, or I don't know. I don't know what this team is. I really don't. But I'll go with my gut, and I'll stick with the Rams.
Carolina's tough to figure. The Rams are tough to figure. Both disappointments so far. I totally disagree with Andy that Carolina's defense stinks. I will take the Panthers here. I'll just lay the points.
As a matter of fact, I think Carolina might be in the top three of points allowed.
Yeah, Carolina's got a good defense.
Yeah.
Maybe I misspoke. I don't know what I was
thinking. Yeah, I'm going to go with Carolina in this game. They're at home. Cincinnati at Detroit.
Detroit by 2.5.
I am going to go with Detroit at home just because they're the home team. I think this is probably going to be an ugly, physical, slug-it-out game, and I'll take the home squad.
This is a tough call because these are two teams that should be a lot better than they are. But, yeah, I'll go with the home team just because that's where the game's being played. Lions.
I think Detroit's better, and I'm going to go with the Lions for that reason. I agree with the assessment of the game, probably going to be a tough physical one. I'll take the Lions.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to go with the Lions. San Diego at Jacksonville. San Diego at Jacksonville.
San Diego by 7.5.
I will take San Diego to win in cover because they're the Jags.
It's the Jags, yeah.
I'll take the Chargers, too. I just assumed you were going to set up your little thing.
Oh, I didn't think he was ready.
Yeah, I'll take the Chargers as well.
And me, too. I will take the Chargers.
Better late than never.
Buffalo at Miami. Buffalo at Miami.
Miami by 8.5.
I am going to take the Miami Dolphins to win.
Is Thad Lewis starting?
And cover. I don't have any idea. I'm not going to lie to you. Cameron Wake back, getting healthy. I think he's going to put some pressure.
He's been out?
Well, he missed like a game and a half with a knee injury. He's been bouncing around apparently on the practice field, feeling good. And I think that's a big difference for that defense. And Mike Wallace, I think, is getting more comfortable. At 100 yards in the last game before the bye. I think the Dolphins are going to separate themselves from the Bills. I'm not saying what they're doing with the Patriots, but they're going to separate themselves from the Bills.
I'll take the Dolphins to win at home.
Fins up.
I don't like this matchup, though, so I'll give the Bills some credit, even with a terrible quarterback situation, to keep it close. Give me the points, Paul, please.
I would be taking the points had Buffalo had a situation at quarterback that I was more comfortable with, but I will lay the points
here.
That's a
fad
with Miami.
Situation.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I'll lay the points with Miami because of the offense.
Yeah, just because, right, Buffalo's quarterback situation. Dallas at Philadelphia.
Just because, right.
Dallas at Philadelphia.
Just because, yeah. Philadelphia by 2.5.
Paul, did you see the good SID stat for the Eagles last week? Whatever it was, like, they're the first offense in six games with 15,000 yards of this, and I was just like, who gives a flying bleep?
I had a stupid factoid, the grand slam that Big Poppy hit the other night. Do you know that each of the four runs that scored on that were charged to four different pitchers? Four different guys allowed one run to get, you know.
See, I find that interesting. Just because.
I don't know if that has ever happened.
I feel like stats have gotten annoying because of computers.
Each guy that got on base?
Yeah. Was put
on
by a
different
pitcher.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
You know, little known fact.
Don't forget about D'Lo down in the Grapefruit League.
I will take the Cowboys. I think they're the better team. And the Eagles don't have a very good defense. That I'm sure of. I don't know about Carolina, but I don't like the Eagles defense.
You're right about the Eagles.
The Eagles are a team that have gotten me this year. When I picked them, they've lost. When I haven't picked them, they've won. I'm going to pick them this week. I think their offense might, even though I think they're going to run out of steam eventually, they've been playing well of late. And Dallas, I still don't believe in, so I'll go with the Eagles, Paul.
I'm going to vary for my two bad teams, take the home team theory here, and I'm going to go with Andy and take Dallas. I think they are a little bit better, but I don't think either team is very good.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dallas as well. Chicago at Washington.
Washington by one.
I guess I'm going to go with the upset and go Chicago. I don't like Washington as a football team. I don't like really anything about them. The way they're constructed, their coach, the quarterback situation right now. I don't like anything. I don't like it. So I'll go with, and I don't like the Bears. Don't get me wrong. I don't really like their coach, and I don't love their quarterback, but I like them a little better than the Skins.
They're a much better football team at this point.
Plus, it's a political statement. I'm not really comfortable with the nickname.
The Washington football team?
Yes.
I will take the Chicago Bears, Paul.
I agree with Eric. I think Chicago is a much better team. I'm a little surprised that they are underdogs.
Going for the upset, too?
I'm rolling the dice.
Upset special?
Upset special. Lock it in.
Yeah, I got to go with the Bears as well. All right, we'll skip over New England
at do that for us, Paul?
New Jersey Jets. Nice. And we'll go to the 4 o'clock slot, 4:05, San Francisco at Tennessee. Tennessee very low on the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
San Francisco by 4. Yeah.
San Francisco is the – yeah, but I don't memorize it top to bottom. And I created the index.
There's no rhyme or reason, so why bother memorizing it?
Shut the front door. I am going to take San Francisco, the better football team.
Yeah.
I'm not buying. I know Tennessee had the good fight. I don't really know why Tennessee is competitive. I'll give Mike Munchak credit.
Most anonymous team. Paul said it a few weeks ago.
He's doing a fine job, but they're not good enough to win this football
game. I'm liking that comment because they're not terrible.
No, they're not. They're just anonymous.
They're a thoroughly mediocre 8-8 kind of team, and no one really knows why. Mm. Like, what are they missing? Or did they overachieve to get to 8-8? Or
underachieve?
Or underachieve? They do have the distinction, speaking of SID stats.
I look forward to it.
The only head coach in the NFL that's in the Hall of Fame. Player. Only Hall of Fame player in the...
Okay.
Okay, that is good.
It's the head coaching ranks in the NFL.
But not ever.
No, right now.
Right now.
There's only like five in
Singletary.
In all of sports.
Jeff Fisher?
No, not in the NFL. There's only like five in all of sports.
Oh, that are Hall of Famers in their sports.
Yeah, that are coaches that are currently in the Hall of Fame in their sports.
Gotcha.
Two of them are in the NHL. Adam Oates is one, and Patrick Wah is one.
Back when he was Roy.
Adam Oates.
Ryan Sandberg in baseball. Munchak is one other.
Okay. I will go with the 49ers on the road, even though it's a cross-country journey. They're a better team, and... not a whole lot better team. I will say that though.
I think they're
going to win this game.
Still concerned about their passing game, but I think they're a lot better than Tennessee. And I think without Jake Locker again, Ryan Fitzpatrick, not good.
I'll go with the 49ers as well. 425 Cleveland at Green Bay.
Green Bay by 10. 10.
I will go with Green Bay to win. And cover. You know, I think that Cleveland has a competitive defense and a team that's been competitive, fighting the good fight, kind of like the Titans, but they're just not good enough against Aaron Rodgers.
If they had Hoyer, maybe I'd think differently.
Yeah.
Hoyer.
But, no, I'll take the Packers to win and cover.
I will take Green Bay to win and cover as well. Too much offense, even though they've struggled a little bit offensively. I think they have too much offense.
Yeah, and for that reason,
a lot of injuries.
I will take Cleveland to cover, Green Bay to win. 425 Houston at Kansas City.
Kansas City by 6.5.
Can they keep it up?
I will take Kansas City to win and cover, but I have a fear that one of these days Houston's just going to play, Maybe I'm going to say that for 12 more weeks or whatever the hell it is, and it'll never happen.
Is Schaub playing?
As far as I know.
They don't know yet.
Oh. What's wrong with Schaub? Oh, that's right.
He got booed off the field.
I mean, cheered off the field.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that some week J.J. Watt has like 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. You know, Arian Foster goes off for .180. But I don't think this is the week in the 130 decibel Arrowhead Stadium.
What's the Chiefs number, Paul?
6.5.
I will take them to win and to cover. Not a whole lot on the cover, but I think they will.
If you're Schaub, do you want to play?
Yeah, you got to get out of this.
I'd also be worried that Yates comes in, has a good game or something, and all of a sudden...
What I saw last week, I don't think there's much of a chance of that.
No, he doesn't want to play. He doesn't care.
Nice. I'm going to take Kansas City too, but I do have that fear that
the better
team finally plays better. But I'll take the Chiefs.
I would have the worst rant ever if people cheered when I got hurt. But, I mean, you would need.
Oh, you'd be flipping people off the whole time.
Oh, God, yes. God, yes. I'd be burning my uniform at midfield. you wouldn't be able to control me.
Wait, but you'd be hurt, so you'd be on a stretcher.
Well, yeah, I'd need somebody to roll me out there, but I'd have lighter fluid.
They'd say, don't move your neck, Andy.
I would, oh.
It supports
that
giant head.
You would too, Fred. You'd go off.
I wouldn't listen to the fans. Oh, God. When I played, I was.
This is the guy who.
First of all, you
this
never
is the
played.
Guy who's never not heard any comment ever about the Patriots.
Right.
And if he was actually a player, he suddenly would block it all out.
When I was a player, I didn't listen to all the extraneous noise
in tennis.
Yeah, because
so quiet.
In tennis, there was a lot of distractions during Fred's high school tennis career.
Quiet, please. Thank you.
What was the loudest noise? The crack of the bat from the baseball field that was next to the tennis courts.
Yeah, and Fred was getting ready to serve, and all of a sudden, someone hit a double up the gap.
He goes all Tiger Woods on him.
Answer the question!
I'm going to go with Kansas City. Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
It's the gladiator as a damn man, not tennis, please.
425. Please? Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
Oh, boy.
Pittsburgh by 1.5.
Classic AFC North struggle.
Disappointing teams in the AFC North.
North.
I will go... I'm just... I'm just going to go with Baltimore because I think they're the better team, even though they don't make me feel good. And I'll look at the scoreboard and say, son of a bitch, they're not the better team.
Yeah, I have to fall in the trap, too. Even though it's going to be a close game. But
it'll be ugly. It'll be physical.
It will be
close.
Ugly, physical, low scoring.
It's called the NFL this year. Raven, crap-ass teams.
Yeah, the Ravens will find a way to pull it out.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Adrian Peterson should have found
really?
A way to pull
I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Stop. Too soon.
I don't think there's much difference in these two teams. They're only separated by like a game. I think Pittsburgh finds a way to win at home.
Who's this
big Fred would say,
blonde?
If this game was in Baltimore, I'd be taking the Ravens, but it's in Pittsburgh.
Who's the one who does the all-access on college football ESPN?
I don't know.
She's cute.
Could she be your Sam chest Ponder? Of the week, Andy?
She could be my chest. She has nice dimples.
Isn't that who it is?
I think I like dimples.
Who? Sam, isn't used to be Sam Steele, now
I don't
she's Sam
it
Ponder?
It is her, though. If she did a little something different.
That wasn't her.
Yeah, no? That was somebody else.
She
I like her,
do
though.
Much for me, though.
Who?
Sam Ponder.
Yeah, this girl's hotter. She's got more of it. Animal magnetism.
You taking Baltimore?
Paul, I can see why you take Pittsburgh, but I'm just going to go with Baltimore. I think they're the better team at this point.
I hope you're right. Let's bury Pittsburgh.
Sunday night, 8:30, Denver at Indianapolis.
Denver by 6.5.
I'll take Denver to win in cover. I've never bought the Colts this year. I didn't know why they're better. I'm not sure they are better. And Peyton's pissed. I think he's going to put up about 8 touchdowns and do the Roger Clemens staring at the owner's box as he walks off the field.
With the red mark on his forehead?
Yes.
From the helmet that's way too tight.
And Wes Welker gets to double-digit touchdowns in Game 7.
That would make you happy, wouldn't it?
I like Wes. I'm rooting for Wes.
Have you seen his commercial?
No.
He has the new...
For diapers or something?
No, the Old Spice commercial, kind of like the one that Mayo did, where it's like a goofy...
Yeah.
He ends up with like these Komodo dragons
eating
his legs.
Yeah.
And he looks happy about it.
Yeah, and he does, because he had just smelled the Old Spice. It's
I have not
weird.
Seen that.
He smelled the Old Spice.
He did. I think you're right. Peyton and the Colts go in, and they did take their foot off the gas a little against Jacksonville last week. They're going to step on the accelerator this week, and they're going to run it up as far as they can against this Colts.
Ursay poked the Giants.
Brandon Bolden riding the stationary bike at practice today, huh?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure it's from today?
Yeah. Well.
Because sometimes they say, and I'm like.
That's a good point.
And you watch it, and the guy hasn't been on the team that he's blocked. Yeah,
no,
like
you're
Sudfeld.
Right. That could be B-roll.
It could
absolutely.
Be.
Sudfeld's on SportsCenter right now getting blocked by Gronk and drills. And
right. You're right. That could have been B-roll.
They do it a lot.
In fairness, though, he was riding a bike again today. So whether or not it was yesterday or today, he was still doing that at practice.
I will take Denver in this game as well.
Sudfeld was not blocking Gronk, that's for sure.
I would have been taking Denver anyway, but I don't think that they'll let up if they get a lead now.
This will be an interesting game for the Indy fans. So, you know, they'll have the pregame ceremony, and of course they're going to cheer Peyton Manning and everything like that. Then what happens if, you know, Denver just starts throttling them? You know, do they divorce themselves from the game? They start leaving early in disgust?
Well, they're not Patriots fans.
You know, and then if on the opposite, if the Colts start, you know, winning the game, you know, and, you know, do they start booing Manning if he does something? You know what I'm saying? It's like I can see the fans like really being fickle in this game because their emotions are being played with. You know, we're told to like love this guy before the game, but then the game starts. What happens if that guy starts beating our asses?
Yeah, I wouldn't be torn at all. I'd be pro Manning until kickoff, and then
absolutely,
he's the enemy.
Yeah,
I think he deserves huge ovation and then huge boos and whatever you want to get.
Wild cheers if you pick him up.
But how do you feel when if he starts
terrible
kicking your ass?
And
terrible.
Now I'm, and then I,
right,
the
do
only,
you leave?
No, I would be boob Ursay for ticking him off and poking
right,
the bear.
Right, so now you start booing your own owner?
Yeah, I'd run up
well,
to the box.
Earned it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. This would have no problem as a fan to sit there and say, in a pregame ceremony, I'm honoring all the great things that he did for 14 years,
right,
and now I want to kill him for the next 3 hours.
Right.
And if
well,
I don't,
within reason.
No, I don't want to hurt
him.
I mean,
Robert Mathis actually runs through him and he's laying there limp on the field.
No, I want to win the
game.
Kill him in terms of the score.
Killing you?
I'm mad.
At who?
The fact that my team is losing. I'm not mad at anybody.
Okay, all right.
I mean, Why do I have to be mad at somebody?
Well, I think a lot of fans.
You're an angry man.
I think a lot of fans need a reason. They need a reason either to root for or against.
The reason is you're getting your ass kicked.
The reason I'm rooting for Indianapolis is because I'm a Colts fan.
Yeah, but who?
The reason I'm rooting for the Patriots is because I'm a Patriots fan.
You don't have any second thoughts, oh, he should still be on this team or anything like that
no.
if he starts killing you?
If you have second thoughts about that, yeah. But what's the difference if you win or lose?
And how do you express all this specific anger?
I think if you start beating the Broncos, you're like, great. You know,
because
you think
I'm a Colts fan
for the Broncos.
What's that?
If they go up like 42-7, they'll be cheering him throw a touchdown?
No.
Then what are you talking about?
I'm saying, you know, do they like storm out of the, you know, do they leave early in disgust?
Like Patriots fans?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So who are they mad at?
Who are they mad at Sunday?
I can tell you they're mad at Belichick for, you know, destroying the team and not getting players. You know, Belichick.
Man.
So he got all of this out of people walking up the aisles into their car.
I'm a straw man with Belichick the GM argument. I made that up.
You think that the 68,000 people.
There's a lot of straw in that man.
There's a lot of straw in that
The 68,000 people that were here on Sunday, the majority of them that left were mad at Belichick. That's why they left.
Or you think they were mad
because the Patriots were losing?
I think a lot of them were.
Or they left because they're bad fans.
I think the vast majority of them were upset because the Patriots were losing the game.
Anyone who's mad at Belichick for anything is a bad fan.
No, I think for leaving early in a game that's still competitive with time to go, you're a bad fan.
I think you're a worse fan if you think like you just said.
I'm going to get my car early so I can listen to the end and hear a terrible call on the radio.
The epitome of Bruins fans under Harry Sinden.
And since 2/3 of them left, you were stuck in traffic anyway.
Right.
Yeah. You're just going to keep on going.
Sit your ass down. I think there's a little difference between Bruins fans and Harry Sinden who didn't do anything.
Deep playoff run every year, Bruins.
And
we think it's great. We think it's great. Deep playoff run every year. Everything is great. We'll just keep going.
Three rings. Five Super Bowl appearances.
How many could you have?
Five.
If you weren't mismanaged.
Well, you could have, I guess, every year you'd win one. You know, everyone.
No, I'm saying
so
if
now
you,
they're mismanaged.
No, I'm saying for the people that think like that.
I know, Fred, I think they're stupid.
Fred says you can't think like that if you're a fan.
I think if you're a smart fan, you can't.
Well, why can't you want to win more?
You know, everybody wants.
Why should you be satisfied?
I think Bill Belichick wants to win more too.
Okay. Now we're back to he wouldn't have let Dante Hightower have the controls if you know he didn't think he was the best guy.
Yeah,
for the job.
He doesn't want to win. He just doesn't care. Denver, I will take
every move he makes
Monday
is right.
night. I think that's the first picks argument we've ever had.
I do. Somehow an argument interrupted our.
I don't
picks.
Know how you would have a hard time if you were a Colts fan. I just don't understand what's hard
I think
about.
I think my emotions are going up and down in that game.
Why?
Because you know I have. Look,
you actually they're the smart.
If the same thing happened to Tom Brady and he came back here, I think fans' emotions would be mixed. Don't you think?
No, but I think the good part of the strange ceremony is it gives you an outlet for your cheering. You can get your mixed emotion out of the way. You can give Manning the loud ovation and say, I love you for everything you ever did. And then it also allows you to make a cut and move on. And now you're the enemy and I'm going to boo everything you do. I'm going to cheer when you're picked. I'm going to cheer when you're hit.
Right.
Like it gives you a natural outlet for both.
And when you walk off the field at the end of the game,
then I can cheer you again. Yeah. Unless you won, then I'm booing you.
Well,
what if they run it up?
Well, then they run it up. My defense should be better.
But you know what? But you know what?
Defense.
When he retires, the Colts are going to retire his number.
Of course.
When he goes into the Hall of Fame, he's going to talk all about the Colts.
Right.
He's not going to have.
They should have waited till then, I think.
Until he goes in the Hall of Fame?
I think they should have waited to honor him when he retires.
Nah, it is kind of weird to honor a player.
Yeah, but I like
playing.
That it gives you the
Oh,
outlet,
yeah, that is weird.
I'm fine with
That's
it.
That's going to be a little strange.
I don't have any problem with it,
I
but
think
it's strange
to honor him, then trash him on Twitter, and then honor him again.
Well, that's, yeah.
It's strange to honor a guy who's playing in the game. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think you
against
see that
you.
Very often.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, no, you don't.
I don't. Well, for, against, whatever. I think it's strange to honor a guy who's about to play a game.
A couple more years left. They couldn't wait a couple years and then have a big ceremony for him or something.
What if John Fox had said, you're taking my player away from time I need to prepare for the game?
That's probably why they're doing it. They probably think it's going to bother him.
But what if they
soften him up?
What if he said no? I'm not going to take part in it.
Right.
Well, is he taking part? I mean, I don't even know what the ceremony is going to exactly be.
It'd be kind of hard having a ceremony to honor him. He's going to have to appear at some point.
Have to appear.
It's going to be good ratings. Good for NBC. Monday night, Minnesota at the Giants.
Giants by 3.5.
What an awful game.
Josh Freeman. Now we will see if a guy who's known the playbook for a week throws fewer interceptions than a guy who's won 2 Super Bowls with the same playbook. I am going to take Minnesota. I'm sick of taking the Giants. Suck it, Giants.
I would love to, but I can't pick Josh Freeman. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'll
you
have to go with the Giants.
Charged.
What?
I know. I heard you laugh when he goes, you're taking the Giants?
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I'm going to do it.
I'm going to lose for the seventh straight week by taking the Giants as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants too, Paul. I'm going down with your ship. All right, now we go back to Sunday at 1.
Start? 2.
What's that?
It's 10 past.
It's okay. I was asked to go a little long today because he had something to do.
Just
right
realized how much field looks like Novak Djokovic. Just
a little bit. Little bit.
And that's and that's
you're only about half of him, though.
And that's
he
no
said
joke.
He would take it.
Can he hear us?
Yeah, he can.
Because he's only about half of Novak Djokovic. He's a little skinnier.
Wow.
He's a little skinnier.
And Novak's not exactly, you know, an offensive lineman.
He's pretty ripped, though.
Let's see.
Believe me, much like I check out Danny Amendola's groin,
I'm checking
out Novak Djokovic's build.
All right. New England at the New Jersey Jets. Sunday at 1.
Pat's by foe.
Foe show.
I fear this game because of the injuries on defense. The one known.
It doesn't feel like a Jets week either.
It's a strange
week. Well, that's because Fred dismissed the game on Tuesday by saying there was no chance.
I think there's a chance the Jets win this football game. I think there's a chance it's an ugly dogfight, as Paul Perillo said.
Rock fight.
Sorry. And I think they're, but I'm going to go with Brady. I'm going to go with Belichick. I just can't pick Geno Smith. I don't think he's consistent enough, even against a banged-up defense, even if it's without Aqib Talib. And I don't think they have enough weapons. Yeah, sure, Stephen Hill might be able to get deep, but I'm not going to count on Stephen Hill getting deep. I think the Patriots have played plenty of these games. They're ready for a fight. They're going to win the fight, and they get to see the confines of where they'll play the Super Bowl. Right, Fred? They're going to get ready. They'll see where the play clock is, where they'll be.
That'll be a big plus. They will know where the play clock is. That's
they do play
plus.
There every year.
Because the Giants game this year in the preseason was in Foxborough.
That's right.
So they don't know
where the play clock
if
is.
They have changed the play clock
this
at all.
This will give
at
them
MetLife
a chance
Stadium.
To see the play clock, and they will win the football game.
I share,
6 in a row.
I share your trepidation, though, about how this game is going to be closer than people think.
What is 6 in a row?
Patriots victory is over the Jets.
Oh. It's over the Jets. Okay.
But I do think in the end it'll be a cover for New England.
No, I just write it.
Okay.
But it's going to be close. Yeah. I think it's going to be a nerve-wracking game.
What's the score? I didn't give a score.
I didn't give a score either.
24-16.
If the Jets do not turn the ball over, I am going to be
scared
in this game. Yes. However, I think that they will turn it over because that's what they generally do. I think the Patriots defense, even if Aqib Talib doesn't play, has been very good at taking the ball away. I fall back on that turnover thing. Andy mentioned earlier that the Jets also don't force any turnovers, so you're probably not going to give up any cheap points. I find it hard to believe that you can just run the ball against the Patriots, regardless of personnel, and put enough points on the board to win. I don't think the Jets will be able to do that.
Because Joe Valano and Chris Jones are stepping up, right?
Yeah, they might allow a lot of yards, but they're not going to allow a lot of points. And for that reason, I go with Tom Brady over Geno Smith.
Really going out on a limb there, huh?
26-13.
Yeah, as I've been saying, this game comes down to the Patriots offense versus the Jets D. Everything else doesn't matter. I think, except for Amendola, I think the offense is as healthy as it's been this season. I think Colley makes up a little bit for Amendola, and I think they do okay on offense. They do just enough. I'm with you. Mid-20s for the Patriots, Jets in the teens. Patriots win this game. Because guys step up.
One more quick prediction for all of us. Does Gronk play?
No.
Should we even bother making
I'm going to say, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
good prediction.
It's not even.
I think it's 50-50 really at this
point. If he plays, it's a blowout. No,
I think if he plays, they win more comfortably, far more comfortably.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I think they probably get no.
John Rook is still talking in Studio B.
All right.
So.
Well, that's going to be. Oh, really?
He's on a microphone.
You're fine.
Okay. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Pregame social. Time 10:45.
10:45 for 1 o'clock.
10:45 on Sunday, and we'll see you next Tuesday. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.